Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you tonight. Hope you all doing well. Just give me a moment. I'll be right back. All right, welcome everybody. We are here and good to be here tonight. Hope everybody's doing good. We're going to be praying for you in just a little bit. So get ready for that. All right. All right. I think you go to the website now. I think you should be able to do that. Okay, all right, you can go there, I think, and you should be able to listen to the show. It's not video tonight. I just got back into, I just got into a little place to the studio and got it all unloaded and kind of sitting there looking at it, trying to organize it and do something new with it. So y'all pray for me as I do that. Really a lot of fun. So let's see. I think you should have the audio up. All right. I'm going to stop for a second. I'm going to stop for a moment. Make sure my audio is correct. What's going on with that? Okay, here we go. Not letting me do what I want to do. I'll give you some over here. All right, I think I got it now. Thank God. There we go. Welcome to TGN tonight. I am Randy Chandler, and I'm here to pray for you, minister to you, hopefully give you something that will help along the way. Hope you're all doing good. Wow. I've got it going on. Give me a second here. Cool. Ooh. All right, we are on. Congratulations, we made it. All right, we're here tonight. Wow, really cool. All right, you know, last night we talked about different things. Whoa, I mean, I'm actually on. Okay, we didn't have to go on. Zoom, thank God for that. Just a second here. I don't know what is going on with this stuff. This stuff is leaving me. Ooh. Okay. I'm going to figure this out. Yes, I will. All right, let me make sure I am on the right thing. Okay. Wow. I actually made it. We're actually on talk. Anyway, so I don't have to go on Zoom. I also have this going on the website. If you want to go to the website and listen, sometimes the audio is a little bit better. Some people tell me. So thank God for that. All right. We're going to talk about different things tonight. So get ready, get ready, get ready. All right. So what are we going to do? I didn't finish up talking last night about some things with Israel. I don't want to talk about the bombing that went on, the missiles and the drones that happened in Iran. That's the first time Iran has ever struck Israel, ever. So we know that one thing, that is a sign. You guys, you keep up with what's going on around here, you know that we have, you know, we talk about this and kind of what's going on in the end times. We're very connected to it in many different ways. And so I want to share a little bit what's on my mind about that tonight. I'm going to find some notes here so I don't forget things, forget anything, hopefully. All right, there we go. Yeah, so we know the last time that missiles hit Iran, I mean hit Israel, ever landed in Israel, and actually hit Israel. In fact, you know, they said that about at least nine or so missiles actually hit southern Israel. Missiles, you know, not drones, but missiles, and hit near a some kind of a military site there in southern Israel. And so, you know, they actually hit Israel. They stopped a lot of them, thank God. I think they shot like 300, you know, between missiles and drones, you know, delivering bombs and stuff. They got, you know, 95% of them at least, something like that. Quite a few, but still, it is a being reported that about at least nine missiles hit in the area where they had, you know, military bases. And so one thing that Jeannie said about what she thought was going on, she texted me and let me know what she thought was happening over there, that they were trying to kill the red heifers. I never even thought about that. That could be exactly right, because they know that there's rumors that they're about to offer up the red heifer, which is a 2,000-year-old prophecy coming to pass. The fact that they even had a red heifer that actually passed all the tests is a mind-boggling. And of course, we all know they came from Texas. It's amazing. From down the street from where I'm at. Really cool how, you know, we're just kind of connected here and there. I mean, I don't understand it all. If I could find a connection, brother, I'll connect, you know, if there's one there. So we have a little bit of that going on with the missile situation that, because the last time, I talked about this last night, but I'll talk a little bit more tonight. The last time missiles hit Israel was when Saddam Hussein, you know, the dictator of Iraq, shot and landed missiles in Israel, Tel Aviv, in 1991. Well, if you heard me tell the story for several years, I've talked about this. This happened back in the 90s when this happened. But in the late 80s, I did a meeting in Monahans, Texas, which is a little oil well town around Midland, Odessa, up in that area there, if you know where that's at. And so there was a lady there named Esther Lambert, and she had showed up at the meeting, and I stood her up, and like I do in meetings, I stand people up and say, ma'am, you know, and as she stood up, I saw explosions going up all around her. And then I said, but don't worry, the Lord says not one hair on your head is going to be harmed. And, you know, and then, of course, I got to know them a little bit after that. Kind of pick my brain. I don't remember exactly if they picked my brain or not about that, but it's very amazing. Her husband worked in oil industry. He was a driller. He was he was like the head guy for drilling oil. And so he had decided in, you know, I don't know what year it was, 1990, I think, he decided to go into with an oil company searching for oil in Israel. And so during Christmas time in 1990, you know, our friend Esther Lambert went to visit her husband, Vic Lambert, and while he was there during Christmas time, she wanted to spend her Christmas with him. So she goes there, and sure enough, she was there in December, Christmas time, and then January, on into January. In January, guess what? Saddam Hussein decided to bomb Israel, and so she wakes up with, I think early in the morning, with explosions going off all around her, just like the word of the Lord was given to her back in, you know, 89, 90, whatever it was. I can't remember exactly. Let him in 88. But I never had been able to nail in at time. I rented a facility at that time, a library, and I tried to look that up, and it didn't go that far back. So when I rented that facility, but anyway, so that was back in the 1980s, so quite a while back. Anyway, so her husband working there, right, in the oil industry, she's visiting him, the bombs go off, and explosions go off all around her. She's in Tel Aviv. She rented an apartment in Tel Aviv. And so the officials, the Israeli officials, came to her door, knocked on the door, and asked her to come with them to a shelter, you know, of safety. And they had a gas mask on their head. Well, Esther remembered that word. She said, Randy, when she called me, you know, when she came back to Texas, she called me. She was really excited. She was like 65, somewhere in there, 70. I don't know. She was somewhere in the age. Called me up. She said she was so excited, like a little kid. She said, Randy, you're not going to believe this. But start telling me the story, how this all happened. She said, I told that man that I had a word from God because he's standing with the gas mask, you know, pushing me to, you know, go for safety and protection because Saddam Hussein just bombed Israel, and he was known for, you know, bombs that had poison in them, you know. Yeah, so that's why they had the gas mask in their hand. And so she says, no, thank you. So she goes back to bed. She told me, I go back to bed. She said she put up a gas mask beside her bed, didn't even put it on. You know, this woman had faith, man. I mean, you know, even the draw that wore out of me, you know, 2 years earlier or whatever it was, you know, was amazing. She drew that wore out of me like God was protecting her. You know, it wasn't about me being the great prophet. It was about her being the woman of God who loved Jesus and he's going to, you know, protect her. And, you know, she could have a word from God 2 years early on it. And, you know, it's just amazing when you think about it. So, you know, the connection point here is that when Iran Saturday decided to send missiles and drones to Israel, you know, about 9 or 10 of them, at least 9 of them, the news says, the article I read, so at least 9 of them hit a military site there in southern Israel, and more than that probably, but they're just saying 9 right now. And so, you know, for some sense, Saddam Hussein, I started, you know, hearing people talk about it on YouTube, and they said the last time that happened was the Saddam Hussein landed some missiles in Tel Aviv in Israel. And I went, yeah, I remember something about that. So I remembered, of course, that story, that testimony of Esther Lambert and her husband Vic, you know, being in Israel when that happened, and with the word 2 years before that was just, you know, connecting us to that. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And if you know about all the other testimonies we have about how we're connected to Israel, it just kind of keeps, you know, it just keeps showing me, at least, I don't know what it's doing for y'all, but it keeps showing me, you know, Randy, wake up. I've had you involved in this for a long time, boy. You know, because it's in the late 1980s that when God started speaking to me about, you know, being around when the two witnesses were around, which sounded crazy at the time. And, you know, I believed it. I told some people, made a fool of myself, you know, regretted it, and never said anything about it again until, you know, lately. Yeah. And so what's really cool about that also is the guy that is, you know, Byron Stinson, who is helping the Jews build the temple, connected them with the Red Heifer, with my friend Brian Davenport, Brian and the crew. And so Ty, his brother, were involved in it. There's other people too, but Ty grew them, and that was my friend's brother. And so, you know, here we were, again, connected to this whole thing. And, you know, so I called Byron up after my friend Brian gave him my number and told me to call him. He told me, call him up. You know, I already told him who you are. You know, you just call him up, just, you know, be yourself, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll work on it. Thank you. And so, sure enough, we contacted, and I watched his website, and I saw he had some property in there in overlooking Bethlehem. And I went, you know, that property looked really familiar in it to the dream that I had about the two witnesses, right? So, long story short, I contacted him, telling him, you know, the two witnesses, you know, I had a dream about two witnesses, so I couldn't explain it all in the text. So I'm saying, I'm going to call you. I know you're not going to answer the phone. So I called him up, and he says, hello, this is Byron. I go like,
hey, I thought you were going to answer the phone. He goes, yeah, I wasn't until you wrote that stuff about the two witnesses in my around my house. I'm going, and so on the phone, if he was here, he'd tell you exactly what happened. I started shouting, you know, not real loud, but the two witnesses are coming to your house. And the Lord said, tell him again. I said, the two witnesses are coming to your house. I might have said that three times, but I know I said it twice. I just shouted on the phone to him. I'm thinking he's going to think I'm a lunatic, you know. And so, sure enough, he gets on the phone and says, man, Randy, you're not going to believe this. He said, God showed me when I was 13 years old that I'm going to help the two witnesses. And so I just thought, I've never heard anybody talk about that except me. You know, I'm the only person that I ever know of that's ever said something like that. I've said, if you guys know, you've been listening to me for a long time, I've used those very words. I'm going to help the two witnesses. I've talked about that. And then when, you know, all of a sudden I'm connected to this guy through my red heifer friend, that the red heifer that they're about to offer up, possibly during Passover, if I ran stuff and more stuff doesn't happen. I don't know how they're going to do all that, but we are very connected to this, y'all. I mean, this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, yes, I have my passport. Yes, I have my stuff. I don't have any instructions or anything yet. I'm waiting. I just moved. Maybe God got me here so that I could be, you know, more settled in a sense. And I don't know. But anyway, it's really, really interesting. So I can travel and do whatever. And hopefully, you know, RPG and friends go with us. If I feel like God wants you to do that, I will maybe bring it up or you can whatever. So that's kind of what's happening here. But here's the amazing thing. Now, here's the next thing that I haven't talked about yet is that the prime minister of Israel at the time when my friend from Texas was there and Saddam Hussein in 1991 bombed Israel, the prime minister at the time was under, just like under, because I want to connect you with okay, hang on a second. All right. I'm getting texts from people, so I'm trying to make sure I want to get there. All right, what was I saying here? Oh, yeah, the prime minister of Israel in 1991, I don't even know the guy's name. Somebody might look it up for me, and I can't repeat it. It's somebody I wasn't familiar with, the prime minister of Israel at the time when this happened. So just like, now listen to this very closely. This is very important to hear. Benjamin Netanyahu is under tremendous pressure to launch an attack against Iran. The United States, of course, Joseph Biden is telling him, you know, we're not going to be with you if you launch an attack. They may help protect them, I don't know, but they're not going to help launch an attack against Iran. So Netanyahu's going, you know, he's under a lot of pressure. I don't know what's going on. Nobody's telling me. Yet, so here's the thing: if they launch an attack, if they respond to Iran's attack, then you know it's going to escalate things. And but yet, if they let them get by with it, so that's the decision that Bibi is dealing with right now. And so, does he make people, you know, worried? That the escalation, because the first, you have to understand that this is the first time Iran has ever, ever attacked Israel in any fashion or form. Now they do it through proxies and through different, you know, like in Gaza, you know, they attack through that kind of situation with Hamas. But as far as attacking him, you know, on purpose and with the barrage of weaponry the weapons that they sent were absolutely okay. Thank you. Thank you. Nicole sent me that. Thanks for looking that up for me. In 1991, Yitzhak Shamir was the prime minister of Israel. Thank you for that. Yeah, I read the article or listened to somebody talk about it, but I couldn't remember his name right off the bat. So thank you for that. Shamir was the prime minister of Israel at the time. And so Shamir was facing the same kind of situation that Bibi, or Prime Minister Netanyahu, is facing right now. The same thing. Like, does he fight back, right? Does he respond and let, you know, Saddam Hussein know, you know, we're the bad boys over here. We're going to take you down and mess with us. Or does he just let it go and hope it goes away? you know, and be, you know, turn the other cheek, so to speak. And so, a long story short, if you look it up yourself, you see that Shamir, the Prime Minister of Israel in 1991, when Saddam Hussein, you know, sent, they weren't sure what kind of missiles that they were. They, like they said, they my friend told me, Esther Lambert told me from Texas, she was there in Christmas time, and on in January, she told me that they handed her a gas mask because they said he's known for dirty bombs. So, you know, I know that from a fact from her, you know, much less the news. And so she said, so it was really, really a dangerous situation. This was like a high level of threat against Israel and the people, because Saddam Hussein, all of a sudden, it's out of the blue. You know, at least Iran sent warnings, you know, to Israel. There's a lot of question about that right now, but, you know, at least, you know, Iran sent, you know, warnings. Hey, we're sending missiles. They're on the way. You know, we got, you know, drones. They're on the way, bunches of them, you know, and so they told them that. Saddam Hussein didn't give any warning, as far as I know. I can't be positive about that, but I'm pretty sure he gave no warning. And, you know, so the bombs, so the missiles were hitting all over the place, and thank God they weren't dirty bombs, or, you know, the word of the Lord that came to her would have not been correct, because the word of the Lord to her was, you know, 2 years earlier was, you know, I see explosions going up all around you, but don't worry, because not one hair on your head is going to be touched. So if they would have been a dirty bomb, that word would have not been a good word, right? Would have been a word from God. And so, you know, she didn't even, and because of the word of the Lord, she didn't even put on the mask. That's what she told me. She said, Randy, I just told that man, you know, I got a word from God. I hope she didn't tell him my name. She might have. I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt it very soon. She never told me that. She didn't say she told me my name. Thank God. Those Jews all worked up, but anyway, so she says, she tells me, you know, they hand me a gas mask and said the dirty bomb thing. And so she just, you know, cool and calm, according to what she told me. I think she was excited because God had spoken to her about it, because it, literally, just like the word, the explosions were going off all around her. She was right there in Tel Aviv in an apartment. She had rented for, you know, I guess a couple of months. And so, you know, wow, man, like, you know, talking about, you know, thank God the word of the Lord was right on, and God knew 2 years in advance. Now, y'all, this is what's amazing. I don't know the exact time. It was at least a year, I think 2 years, maybe more. I was in a ministry thing at that time in the 1980s, and that's how I met the people in Monahan and started going to churches there and started prophesying to people. And then I had meeting in the library because I didn't want to go to just one church. I wanted all people to be able to come. So, yeah, and so that's why I was there. But you know, thank God. You got to think about this. God knew that Saddam Hussein was going to send missiles in 1991 when she was there visiting her husband in December of 1990 and January 1991. That's what blows my mind. Like, how in the heck did God know that? You know, I mean, because he's God, right? I know exactly. But how do you figure that out? I don't know. I mean, he just knows everything. And so, you know, it was just mind-boggling. And I think her faith did it. I really don't know. It wasn't me. You know, I know I get words. But, you know, sometimes people's faith just draws that stuff out of me. And, you know, it's just because of them, because of their faith. And I give the credit to God, the glory to God, and the credit to their faith. And, yeah, God uses me, but it's, you know, it could. You know, anyway, so that's what happened. And so here was the big thing. I'm going all over the place here, but I'm going to try to stick with the program here, is that the big question that Bibi Netanyahu has right now is, does he strike back at Iran, or does he do like Shamir, Bitzhak Shamir did, the Prime Minister of Israel in 1991. Shamir did? I'm sure he's looking at what he did and why he did it. There's different reasons why Shamir did that. And so, and Bibi's reasons, you know, may be different. So we don't know exactly what. But I have a feeling that, and I don't have a prophetic word about this. I'm just saying that I have a feeling, since I just happened to see that video of this and him talking about it in detail. And there's a lot more to say about Saddam Hussein, why he attacked Israel, and the story behind that is amazing. I don't have time to talk about that tonight, but. But so you look back at history and why the Jewish leader of Israel, the prime minister, decided to not strike back at a, you know, at a man who's evil. I mean, the man killed millions of people. I don't know how many people he killed. Lots of them. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people he killed. He was a dirty bomb guy. And so that's why they freaked out a little bit when they found out, you know, he had done that. And, you know, Esther was there. Thank God it wasn't dirty, or the word of the Lord wouldn't have been the word of the Lord. And she'd be dead, and I'd be going like, people would have been going like, you know, we were in that meeting. We heard you say that to her. And then she got there and didn't wear a mask, and now she's dead. But that didn't happen. That's amazing. All right. Woo. Wow. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit tonight, mainly the fact that pray for Israel. Pray for Bibi Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu, because he's dealing with some very, very tough pressure right now. And as you guys know, we had one of our new friends who came from the Red Heifer contacts, Robert Merari, a Jewish man. And so anyway, he lives here in Dallas, but anyway, he told me that Bibi's under a lot of pressure already, and I can imagine what it's like now. You know, pray for him because he has decisions to make. Because we know that it's all going to accelerate, and it's going to be really, really, what's the word, not very peaceful, you know, until they have to sign a peace agreement. So whatever it's going to take to sign a peace agreement, is this that? Is this the situation of Iran accelerating and escalating everything to where they signed the peace treaty? Like Robert Merari, Dr. Merari said on our show one night when he came on our show, and he knows Bibi, you know, on first name basis with the prime minister, Bibi, and he told me, he said, Randy, he's under a lot of pressure, And I said, well, you know, to make peace. And so pray for him. So I said, okay, he should talk about this on the show. I said, do you mean what peace agreement? Are you talking about the peace agreement? And, you know, of course, Robert goes, yeah, that one. The one that in the Bible, that one, that's what I was talking about. He goes, yeah, I didn't say the Bible, but he knew what I was talking about. That's exactly what he said. He said, yeah. Now, hopefully he meant exactly what he said. I don't know. But I asked him, I said the peace treaty, and I think he knew what I was talking about. And he said, yeah. So we're looking at a situation here where it's at least accelerated to the point to where they're going to have to sign a peace treaty. Because the Bible, the only reason we look at sign a peace treaty is not the prophetic word, but the prophecy word in prophecy in the book of Revelation and in all the other places where it talks about that, the great peace agreement. You can see how that, you know, Israel being attacked from every side. It's literally happening. Not just being surrounded by their enemies, but being attacked from their enemies all around in a violent fashion. That has never happened before. The Gaza situation with Hamas, when they attacked on October the 7th, they killed, murdered, raped, and just, you know, I mean, just brutalized people, just, you know, it was like the worst, the most since the days of, you know, the Holocaust. I mean, that you got to think about that. Since the days of the Holocaust. And then we got Israel striking them with missiles for the first time ever, which is, they always talk about how they hate Israel and how they're going to do something. They never do anything as far as directly. Now, a direct assault is a huge thing happening. And it's a huge event that went on. So I don't have any clear information other than that. Pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, because the pressure he's under is to, because the people want, I'm sure that not all the people want him to attack, and because they know that they read, they know what's going on, they're living there. So when you live there in a place, if America has been attacked, you got to think about what you'd want your president to do, you know. So it's really a difficult situation for them. If they attack, if they pay them back for what they've done, it could cause an escalation of you know, the war, and it'll be an unending one thing and then another, and then one thing then another. And then, of course, they'll have to sign the peace agreement, and somehow or another, in the midst of all this, you know, God's got a way for them to burn the red heifer, offer the red heifer up, and or sacrifice it, or what do you want to say they do? They try to say different things about it, but they're going to burn and make ashes out of it for to build into the temple. And so a lot of this stuff that is accelerated has happened because of the red heifer. If you don't know about that, the research on it, you'll find out. Because what the Muslims call, especially Hamas, Hamas leader said, because of the red cow, we did it on October the 7th. That's what they said. Because they knew that it was time, November the 15th, they could have offered up the red heifer. Because the red heifer made it past the test. A 2,000-year-old test, a 2,000-year-old prophecy, if you will, of a red heifer staying red was just, they've had a few before that didn't never stayed red. So this time it did. Came from Texas, by golly. Woo! Wow. So it's pretty amazing. So, you know, get ready, because if you're not ready, I think you may start getting readier if you're not ready yet. Get that ready thing going on. And get that ever-ready eternal life flowing through you and start obeying God if you haven't been. Because, you know, there's no pre-tribulation rapture that has been canceled. Now, the pre-tribulation has been canceled. In case some of you, at least for the first time, it has been canceled. Though in God's eyes, there never was one. But I kind of have a little joke going around here that God canceled the pre-tribulation rapture because Texas decided to have a gold-backed debit card with, you know, and literally that they're doing that. And also, of course, other states are doing the same thing right now. And I think that, you know, in my little joke I have is like God, Texas is crying after God. God, we'll take care of the people during the tribulation. Don't worry about it. We'll feed them. We'll kind of keep getting the bark. God goes, okay, Texas, I believe you. Okay, so I'm going to cancel the pre-tribulation rapture because of you guys. Wow, that's amazing. Anyway, kind of a joke, but that's what we're saying. The pre-tribulation has been canceled, and so you need to get ready because there's been a cancellation, which never really was one. I shouldn't probably be saying this, but it's kind of trying to lighten it up a little bit. People are not very happy with me about this. I know, and we lost people over this, but they'll figure it out, especially when the pre-tribulation rapture does not happen. They will find out. It's going to be scary for them. So much false prophecy, so much teaching on prophecy has been false. And it's been wrong. I don't think anybody has it perfect, but some of the people that I've known have really messed it up big time. And good people, they just got that messed up. Put a lot of fear in people. And now everybody's scared to death of the greatest time on the earth we're going to have. They're scared to death of it. So, all right, so there you go tonight. I kind of want to get into that a little bit. That's my revelation time tonight, I guess. I have a lot of things I want to share. You know, there's so much that goes on. I'm just the image of God. I'm wanting to talk more about the true image of God. That's what Jesus came to do, was reveal the true image of God. I so want to talk about that in some very biblical ways of how that, you know, we so misunderstand him and try to put him in the light of a good man, and then we miss out on, you know, understanding the word of God like we should. It's really disappointing. And I'm wanting to, God's changing me about it all the time, so it's really awesome. All right. All right, so we're able to get on Rock Talk tonight. Earlier, Deborah was not able to do her show because of that. So anyway, very interesting. All right, let's take callers tonight and see what's going on. We've got some callers here. Let's take them. Let me get my earpiece in here in a second. All right, let's take some callers and see what we can stir up tonight. Hallelujah. All right, 334-403, here we talk for you, please.
Praise the Lord, Prophet Randy, I got a guest. Back when I lived in Texas, I let you announce herself, and she can go first. Oh, this is Sonia from Alabama.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better, yeah, a little bit better. So anyway, so how are you doing? What do you think about all the Iran stuff? What are you hearing on your end?
I was on here last numbers going, oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God. Anyway, we had Miss Dorothy on here.
Yeah, I can't hear you, girl. I don't know what's going on. I can't hear you. I mean, you're like breaking up really, really bad. So
can you hear
I might
me
have
now?
To. Pardon me? I can't hear you.
Dorothy's on the line.
Oh, there you are. You're on the line with her. Okay, great. I can't hear a thing she's saying hardly. It's like really messed up. Sorry. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So you're going to interpret for her tonight? You and her interpreter?
Yes.
What was she saying, Dee?
She was just letting you know I was on the line, that I have Dorothy on the line.
Dorothy.
Okay.
I'm not the D. I'm Dorothy.
Oh, Dorothy. Oh, I'm sorry, Dorothy. Yeah, you sounded different. I thought maybe you're having a sore throat or something. You sound. I didn't sound like D, so... So Dorothy, what's she saying? Can you tell me or what's going on? What are y'all
doing? Yeah, she was letting you know I was on the line.
Oh, that's what she was saying. That was it. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, okay. I don't really know you. I haven't talked. You used to come on a long time ago, right? With Dee, you and Dee
right,
are friends.
That's right.
Yeah. Dee and Dorothy. Okay. Right. So you live in Texas, Dorothy?
No, Florida.
Florida. So you moved to Florida. Okay. All right. Florida, there's a lot of good places to be. America's kind of changing, I think. So, all right, Dorothy, what do you want to talk about? I can pray for you anytime. I can pray for you to talk, or I can pray for you now. It's up to you. Or can just, you have something you want to talk about tonight, something on your mind, or you want to, what do you want to do?
Yes, I want to get prayer for my children, my two boys, and any kind of,
what's her name?
Pray for them.
Name.
Any controlling substance.
Say it real slow. I'm having a hard time hearing. You guys are not having a very good connection tonight.
Any
say it again, please.
Controlling substance that God will break from their life.
Okay, I can't hardly hear you too. So.
Any kind of controlling substance that God break from their life.
Yeah. The connection's so bad I can't even hear their name, but I hear you say you want to pray for your boys. Okay, let's do that. I don't know what's going on with the connection tonight. Maybe on my end, Dorothy, I'm not sure exactly. I apologize for that.
Okay.
Let me see if I can. Okay, well, now, okay, let's just do this.
You hear me now?
Thank you.
You hear me now?
Not much better, honestly. It may be on my end. I don't know. I just like.
Okay.
I hear you real good.
Okay, great. Thank you. I don't hear you hardly at all, though. I couldn't hear her either, so maybe it may be on my end. Let's pray for them.
She got me connected because it might be her phone.
Yeah, see, I can't even hear you say that. Something about her phone.
She got me connected to her phone, and it could be her phone.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. Okay, anyway, I can't. It's frustrating because I can't hear you, but I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to mute you, okay, so let me see here.
Okay, can you hear me?
Okay, I think I can a little bit better. So you want to give me their names again?
Okay. I just want you to pray for my two boys.
And what's her name?
Reginald and Zach,
I still can't hear you. I'm sorry. Okay.
Reginald. Yes.
Reginald. Okay. Somebody just sent it to me. Thank you, Reginald and Zach. So obviously they can hear you better than I can. So that's great. Thank you for that help. Reginald, let's pray for Reginald and Zach. If my next caller is like that, I don't know if it's me. I may have to call. Okay, so let's pray about that. Let's pray for them. So I'm going to mute you just for a second. And my computer's not working very well either, so that may just be me. Hang on a second. Let me get another computer going on here. It'll take me just a second here. Hang on a second, please. Sorry about that.
Yeah, right.
I'll be right back.
All right.
Okay. Yes, your phone messing up because can't hardly hear you.
It's my phone.
It might be your phone, Sonia.
I know it is.
Okay.
I'm not sure why others find them. Then a monkey got hair on.
Let's
get my talk. Casey, it's going out through the
line. He'll be right back. Okay. Yes. Remember, okay, I can't even get on that. I don't know what's going on. It's really, really weird. I'm going to get off. And I'm going to call right back. So y'all hang on a minute, and we're going to fix this thing. Hopefully, I know Block Rock said they're having problems before. So let me. I'm going to hang up. And I'm going to call right back. Hang on just a moment.
Don't drop it.
All right, y'all talk to me again, please.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I think I can hear you a little bit better now. Your voice sounds kind of raspy, but yeah, I changed. Actually, okay. All right, so we're going to pray for your sons. Thank you for that. Let's do that. I think I can hear you a little better.
For myself, please. Just for anything God leads you concerning me.
Yeah, I can't hardly hear that either.
Anything that God concerning.
Oh, anything that okay.
God leads you concerning myself.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. I don't know. This is really, really weird. Okay.
We can hear you, though.
Yeah, I know.
We hear you real good.
Okay, yeah. Y'all hang on. Just hang on. Don't say anything just for a moment.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to fix something here, and it gets in my ears, and I can't hear what I'm doing, so sorry. All right, so it's doing it on both my computers. So I changed computers, and it's doing it on the other computer, too. It's not even letting me mute anybody or do anything. That's crazy. Okay, let me try. Yeah, this is really weird. Buck Rock was having problems today. I think it's still having problems. All right, so let's pray for you. Let's pray for your two sons, and Reginald and Zach, and then we'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. If you guys could just mute your phone, or if that's possible, if you don't mind doing that, that way I don't have any, because I can't turn you off on my end. And so if you would do that, please, I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for taking the time to call in tonight and spend time with us. Thank you, Jesus, for Dorothy, God. We thank you, Lord, for her children. God, we just speak that that whatever things that belong to them, they will receive, the things that belong to them. the things that God has promised to them, God, the things that you have, that they were not come short of the glory or the full promises of God, or they were not just kind of walking some of the stuff you're going to do for them, that they will be able to walk in all the things that you're doing for them, Jesus, and they'll be able to not compromise and come short of the glory. God, you're gonna use them, you know, to change people. Therefore, you're gonna have to change them. I mean, before I could ever help anybody change, I had to change myself, and I tried to change myself, and it didn't work. And so I had to cry out to Jesus. And when I did, you know, I was raised in the Baptist church. I was raised around seeing a lot of people quote get saved. I was supposed to be saved, but I wasn't saved. You know, I knew I wasn't saved because when I got really saved, I knew I was really saved, and there was no a completely different thing. So I know what it's like to try to fight the devil and fight yourself, mainly yourself, trying to win over your weaknesses and your stuff, and you don't have any help from above. It's just like horrible. It's the worst thing anybody could ever do in their life is just be stuck with themselves, and they want to get out and they can't. So I thank you, Lord, for helping Reginald in his life, God, that you will help him to find the power of God in a brand new way, that he will experience a miraculous intervention of your precious hand, Jesus, in his life, God, to take him to a new language, to take him to be able to speak, that he can speak from his heart, what he wants to speak from his heart, not what he feels like he has to or he needs, but he will be able to speak from his heart what's really in you have put in his heart, God, to speak and to do. That he'll be able to do that, that he won't be in bondage to do it halfway or do it, because he wants to do it all the way, God. I thank you, God, you're going to set him free in Jesus' name and cause him to walk in that. And Lord, we thank for Zach. God, we thank for Zach, God, that any spirit of compromise that tries to come against him to get him to compromise in any fashion or form, God, that he will be able to keep up the, you know, the quality of life that you want him to have, Jesus, that he will not just say, well, I can only do half of this, so I'm not going to make it. I'll just be happy with half of what I'm supposed to do or be. And I think that he won't do that, that he will walk in the fullness of your love, that any pain that he's experienced, that love will help him conquer and forgive and love and bless. And anything that he thinks he's dealt with in his life and he hasn't, help him deal with it. That's what he did with me. I thought I'd dealt with some things. You know, I'm thinking I'm free of some stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, God, he showed me that I wasn't, that I kind of dealt with it, but it wasn't dealt with fully and completely. So he dealt with it for me, took over my life and just did something. So I thank you, Lord, for taking over his life, God, in those areas that he's crying after you and doesn't know what to do, to give him hope and strength, God, and victory, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank for Dorothy tonight, God, that Dorothy will be able to find the financial the source and supply that she needs, God, to meet every need and to be able to not only meet her needs, but to be able to reach out to other people and help them. God, you've called her to help others in many different ways. And God, I thank you for blessing her, even yes, financially, and to cause her to be able to do what she desires to do, because there's something, Dorothy, about giving that you love. And when you give and you love giving and helping other people the right way, the godly way, that it does something for you. It brings satisfaction to you. Nothing satisfies you like that. And so, Lord, I ask you to provide that for her. In Jesus' name, open up doors for her, God, in Jesus' name, and call the people in her life that try to bend her and get her to compromise and get her to, you know, go with what they think instead of what she knows is right, that you will deal with that you will help her and strengthen her, God, to make the decisions that she's convicted of by the Holy Spirit, that she's convinced of, that she knows that she's supposed to be doing. And she'll be able to do that, God, with the full blast power of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And pray for Sonia tonight, God. We thank you for Sonia, God. We thank you, Lord, for re-energizing her faith, God, taking her to new levels of her faith, show her areas of her faith that she hasn't activated quite yet, that show her how to do it. Sometimes we don't know how to activate our faith to take it to new levels. So I'm thanking you, Jesus, you're going to help activate her faith in Jesus' name, where she can, you know, open up to brand new things and be able to walk with you, God, in the power of God that she's always dreamed about, that she's always wanted, that she's always known that's in the Bible, that it's for her. And we thank you for that, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, you guys. Anything else?
Wow. That's confirmation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Dorothy,
you say it then. Love giving,
okay.
I do. That satisfies me. I'm grateful. And I want to walk in the faith of God.
Amen.
Yeah, well, you do. He's going to increase it, right? Yeah. Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, if you guys can mute your phone, because I can't turn you off. I can't turn it. Won't let me turn you off.
Okay.
I don't know why it won't let me do it, but the switchboard is not working properly. In fact, I may not be able to even take any more calls. I don't know. Let me see. Oh, there we go. All right, 941-524. Who may talk to you, please?
It's Aaron Dan from Sarasota. What's up, Randy?
Hey, Dan. What are you doing, brother? I haven't talked to you.
Oh, man. I'm chilling, having a good time. And Sarasota, we moved out here at the end of last year, and I'm liking it a lot. I love this place. Good place.
Oh, great. You moved out there with your parents or your wife or all of you? Or
no, we moved away from my parents. My wife and I moved like about 45 minutes away from our friends and family.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a comment to make about Israel and Iran.
Oh, good. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking when you mentioned that Iran has never directly attacked Israel before. When you want to defeat an enemy you can't beat, you capitalize on their mistakes. So because it's not a direct attack, it's actually following behind attack from Hamas, then the Israeli soldiers are likely to make more mistakes because they're vulnerable to an actual direct attack. It's kind of like not a diversion, but kind of like a reverse diversion. Like, it would be considered a diversion, but Hamas is a real, real threat. But responding to Iran is not responding to Iran. If Iran attacked them, responding to Iran's attack is responding after attack from Hamas and then attack from Iran. So now to make the right decisions, they're kind of given more challenge to respond correctly because it wasn't just out of the blue directly attacking Israel. It was sneaky what they did. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they actually, you know, you're talking about Hamas or you're talking about Iran? Was sneaky.
Iran did it sneaky by waiting until Israel attacked Hamas.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in other words, you think that I hadn't thought about that. They're all in it together. We know they're all in it together. But they got Hamas to attack Israel on the ground and and did some real what they did is what little bit I know about it is when they did that, they got Israel to, attack, like everyone knows, Gaza and Hamas, attack Hamas in Gaza. And so when they did that, they activated something. And then all of a sudden, they're kind of at the, I don't know if they're at the end of that war with Gaza, with Hamas in Gaza, but I don't know exactly how long it's going to last. But they got to finish the job, right? And so right in the midst of trying to finish the job and attack, what was that, Rafah? They were going to attack Rafah? I don't know attack Rafah. Rafah was the next thing they were going to hit because they said there was a lot of heads of, Hamas. Hamas are there. So they're going to, obliterate the place. And so here they're getting ready to do that. And kind of take the head off the snake as far as there locally. And then Iran, decides to, they warned them they're going to do it. They said, we're sending them right now. And they told them they were going to do it, which is really crazy. But yeah, it's really an unusual, it's definitely an acceleration of the end time. No doubt about it.
Yeah, people are saying stop the war in Gaza when they're just about to a couple months away from finishing the job. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the strategy, I would love for God, you know, like Elijah would go into the strategy room, spiritually speaking, into the strategy room of the king, and he would tell Israel what they were doing, you know. Don't go down that road because they're waiting for you. Because he would know what they were going to do. I would love for, you know, God to show me or whoever. I do have contact now with, you know, some people that can get the word out to Israel directly. I have a couple of contacts that can do that directly, pretty much directly right now. We talk and we have each other's phone numbers. And they're very directly connected to Israel and the leadership of Israel. The, you know, Netanyahu, and then I have another friend who's connected to, you know, a whole other level of people in that area, and the Jews, the rabbis. And so, you know, I'm just like, you know, waiting for God to, I don't know how he's going to do, what he's going to do, what he's going to show me. But I've been, you know, very involved in, but you know, by the grace of God, I've been very involved in this, you know, through many different means. And so I'm just waiting for the Lord to kick in this thing. Like, you know, how's he going to kick it in with the prophet? Because what happened with me, well, got me connected with Israel and the people building the temple, the actual people building the temple, and with Bibi Netanyahu, and got me, you know, kind of, you know, at least connected to them, is that, you know, the my friend who I've known for years, who lives right here in Texas, right down the street from me, about 12 miles down the street from me, I've been friends with him for a long time. I've prophesied to him bunches of times, prophesied to his family. We went to church together. And his brother is the one that grew the red heifer. I don't know if you know that story or not. His brother is the one who actually had the red heifer that actually made it so they can build the temple, so they can, you know, have the ashes and all that. And so what happened was he told them, and they respect him because he's the one who connected them to all that stuff, my friend. And so he gives them my number. Now, this is how quickly God connected me to the whole thing. He gives them my number and said, you need to give this guy a call because he's a prophet. And he said, well, I know personally that he's a prophet. Get a hold of him. So all of a sudden, there I was in a few moments connected to the innermost part of not only Bibi Netanyahu, but the temple building going on, just like that. And so, you know, and we've had those guys on the show, but everybody knows that's listening to me that I'm not blowing smoke. We had the guy on the show, my friend, my new friend, who I met through the Red Heifer people, I know them personally, I've known them personally for years, he set me up with, he had this, Robert Marari, which is an Ethiopian Jew, who, you know, my friend Brian said, call Randy, Dr. Marari, call Randy Shannon because he'll minister to you. And so, you know, he did. He's been on our show. The Red Heifer guys, both of them, the guy who grew the Red Heifer, who supplied the Red Heifer, has been on the show. I've talked to Byron Stinson, who's the guy who, you know, so God just connected me with all that stuff through one person. You know, the Lord told me, if you don't sell my word, if you'll give my word away and not sell it, I'll bless you in a way I've never blessed anybody. And so I can see how, we talked about this last night a little bit, how that by not selling the word of God, like most of them do, God took me beyond what you could even buy with money and connected me directly with these people. You know, it's like you can't pay enough money to get the contact that God has given me. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. God has his hand on you. God has his hand on Israel, and God will fight for you. And even though we all make mistakes, there's a lot of people in the ministry who are not perfect. If you are obedient to what God is calling you to do and say, then God's going to bless you above others because of your obedience, not because compared to other people, you're better, but you're being obedient, and that's what brings the blessing. I think that Israel, I think we need to tell God, as a praying people, to divorce the leaders that are opposing our nation and our allies. Because God loves everybody. He reigns on the just and the unjust. So he shows mercy to our enemies sometimes. So
right.
If we tell God to divorce our enemies, divorce favor from the people that oppose us, and that we call on the Lord and petition him to fight for us, I know he'll do it. I know he's done it before. I know God will answer the prayers of saints.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I think that, what's happening with me, what I'm focusing on personally, in my calling and what's happening with me is that, just like we talked about how that tonight, we're talking a little bit more, we talked about it last night too, I broadened it a little bit more tonight about how the different ways that we've been connected to this, without even, years ago, back in the 90s, the late 80s and 90s, God started telling me, you're going to be prophesying over Israel. I went and hang out with the two witnesses type thing. I'm like going, that's crazy, man. That's like absolutely lunatic. I believed it and I told people about it and made a fool of myself. And so then now years later, what's happening? All of a sudden, I'm directly connected to all of it. I had a dream vision about the two witnesses. I saw the property and land around where they were pulling up in their chariot and their horse. And when I saw Byron Stinson, who's one of my new Red Heifer Connection people, he's the one that works with all the head rabbis that are the people building the temple. He's the one connecting them all up, and he's now become a connection with me. And so, one day when I saw some pictures on his website of that property, and it overlooked Bethlehem, I kind of went, oh, my God, that looks like exactly when I saw the two witnesses in that exact area. And so I texted him. I said, dude, you have a house that overlooks, overlooks Bethlehem? He said, yeah. So I texted him, right? And I said, I had a dream about the two witnesses. I tried to tell him about the two witnesses by text. I said, I've got to call you, man. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave you a voicemail because I can't give all this information over text. So I give him a call, I think I talked about this earlier, but so I call him, right, and he wasn't going to answer the phone because he's very busy, right? He's not going to mess with me. I'm a nobody, except my friend Brian told him I was a prophet. He said he needs to listen to me because I'm not telling something from God, So he kind of had his ear open, one ear open, and one like going, who is this guy? I don't know who this guy is. And so I'm hollering over the phone in his ear, the two witnesses are coming to your house. And Lord said, tell him again. And I think he's going to think I'm crazy, right? This is a brand new friend. I don't know him. He's a big dog and all the temple stuff. And here I am hollering over the phone about the two witnesses like an idiot. The two witnesses are coming to your house, Byron. And so when I finished, he got on the phone and he says, Randy, he said, you are not going to believe this. I said, what? I thought he was going to tell me I was crazy, right? He said, no. He said that when I was 15 years old, the Lord told me that I was going to be working with the two witnesses. I said, no way, man. So now I know. So now I feel better. I told him, I feel better now because I'm sorry I hollered. I'm not sorry, but, I got kind of loud about hollering. Now I know my God has to holler to you.
Yeah, that's, you found the blessing behind the obedience. Sometimes it seems to be embarrassing to obey God, but when you step out and you obey him, you never regret it. It's like you had to do something that you had to say something that didn't sound like it was normal for a man to say, but now God can bless you more than just a normal man.
Yeah, that's true. And so it's so amazing because, when I started talking to him and then he confirmed it, because, when you're doing stuff like that, this guy he's not dignified. He's a Texas boy himself. He has a house in Israel, overlooking Bethlehem.
And so, but he lives here in Texas too. And so, you know, he's the guy who's setting up everything up to build the dadgum temple, man. I'm going like, what am I doing acting like an idiot with this guy? You know, I mean, I should be going, Byron, I think the two witnesses might be coming to visit you someday. I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, if you could just, like, give me a second here. You know, no, I'm not doing that. I'm hollering over the phone. The two witnesses are coming to your house like an idiot. And then to kind of find out, I think the reason God was having me holler at him was to wake him up to, not, you know, to remember what happened when he was 13 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I got a guy calling you who doesn't even know you, knows nothing about you, and I'm telling him what I told you when you were 13 years old. And they're coming to your house.
Randy, listen. Crazy, listen, man. To this. Listen to this. You're not going to believe this, all right? I woke up last night, and I had a dream, and I've had dreams in the past. And God gives me really detailed dreams and visions and things that really are hard to find. Really, it's really precious sometimes. And I'm thankful for that, that God speaks right to me. But I've come to this point in realizing after tonight, after I woke up last night and I got up in the morning and God was speaking to me in my dreams. And I'm to the point now where I'm ready to say that I think that my dad is one of the two witnesses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, I know who
it's
they
hard
are.
To say that.
I don't know who your dad is. I know who they are. I've seen them. So I don't know who your dad is. But the two witnesses are a little bit different than most people think. But anyway. Interesting. Yeah. So I think I know who they are.
To say.
I mean, I don't think I know who they are, but I know who they are. So so this is really, really interesting that all this stuff is getting stirred up and that God's revealing all this stuff to people. And there's a lot of people who have a lot of information that they think about the two witnesses. You know, I mean, as far as I've heard different people talk about different things over the years. And so only because I've seen them myself, and then, you know, and then when the only confirmation that I had of that it was God and not just pizza was because the property, when I saw them driving by this house, I was in this house, and I'm looking out the window. It's kind of like out in the country, sort of.
Yeah.
And the property I saw wasn't Texas property. It was like it had a different look to it. I'd never seen it before. So I didn't know where it was, and so the two witnesses, they are coming real fast in a chariot.
Yeah.
Elijah was in the chariot, and the other guy was riding the horse, and the horse looked like it was pulling the chariot, and so they were going really fast. So I ran out the door, and I threw my hands toward them, and I'm going like, I got to get some of that. That's what I said in the dream. I'm running for it, and they didn't even pay attention to me. They didn't even know I was there. They went whoa real fast by, and then all of a sudden, in the second part of the dream, what happened was the two witnesses were pulling up like to the back of that house or something. I don't know. All of a sudden, I was at another part of it, like in the backyard or something with the garage overhang thing, and I'm standing there, and I had an angel hand me two poles with flags, two banners, two of them, you know, for the two witnesses. And he hands them to me. I didn't see what the angel looked like, but he hands them to me. And then about that time, the two witnesses are pulling up, and they get off their horse and the chariot, and they start walking toward me, looking at me, saying, you know, we've come to see where the king was born. And then I realize I'm in Bethlehem. I didn't know where I was. Because in the dream, the two witnesses said, we've come. And I'm at that place where they've come. Said, we've come. In other words, we're here now. To see, and they're looking at me saying, we've come to see where the king was born, where Jesus.
Yeah.
So I realized I was in Bethlehem. And so when I saw that site of, you know, Byron Stinson's house, he has a picture of it on his website. I'm looking at the property across the street from it, and I'm going like, that is exactly the same property. And so that's what stirred me up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it stirred me up.
I had that happen. I had that happen to me too. What you're describing, I know what you're talking about. I had a dream one time. I had a dream. It was a vivid dream of a man preaching in a stadium, and there was what seemed to be like Colosseum pillars in the stadium, and he had hair that came over his ear. He was black hair that came over his ear, and he was standing on the field of the stadium. A lot of people were listening to him, and a lot of people were being deceived by this man. And I felt like when I was waking up that God was showing me this is the false prophet. Well, later in the week, it was the next week or later that week, actually, that I was watching Christian television, and I seen the stadium, the one that I had in my dream. I seen the stadium, and I seen the man standing where he was in the stadium, and it was a minister of God. It was Joseph Prince. And I thought, whoa. I said, I've seen it. I recognized that was from my dream. And I said, wow, this is amazing. I said, in my dream, this is God telling me who the false prophet was. And then God told me he's not the false prophet, but the church treats each other like false prophets in order to make each other stronger and better. And so I started to learn at that time the way that iron sharpens iron, and people who are coming against your ministry aren't necessarily out to take you out.
Right.
They may be just loving you.
That's a good point.
Or trying, and you talked about it last night, Randy. You said, I build people up. And how can we be grateful for other ministers who have already walked the road we're trying to walk, and they already know what we're trying to do, and they're trying to build us up and help us and make us grow. They're not really hurting you. They're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to help you.
But also this too, that's a really good point. I like that. Cause I've gotten the same thing. It's like the Lord started showing just recently, actually, it's pretty cool you're saying that, because just recently, he was showing me that the reason that he allows or even stirs people up to come against me and whoever else is because it is to make you stronger. It's to make you, you know, learn how to fight better, learn how to yield better, learn how to, you know, when I get overwhelmed with people that are more powerful than me, like judges and attorneys and all kinds of things that are going on, you know, locally and otherwise, and I'm overwhelmed because I don't have the money. I mean, I could get an attorney. I've had people, you know, I don't want to get into that, but I could get stuff if I wanted to. I just really want to trust God. And so I don't want to trust. I'm not saying getting an attorney is wrong. It's not. I'm not saying that it's wrong. But God does not allow me to get it because he's going like, I want you to learn to trust me to be your helper. So
that's
instead
good,
of, you know, calling them up, and which I've been tempted to do and had the money and got approval to get them, to get the money to get the attorney, and so it wasn't cheap either to fight for the thing. Thor just says, you know, now that you've got approval to get the money, Randy, I don't want you to do it. I'm going like, what? You know, he said, I'm allowing all this stuff to happen to make you stronger. This is making you better. This is making you stronger. So don't, you know, whine and complain about it or resist it. Let me do a work. When they're fighting you to make you stronger, just like you said. It's really true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. And know when to pull a trigger, Randy. Don't let somebody walk all over you. Pull a trigger when you have to.
You know, you have to. Pulling the trigger is only, you know, what we learned to do. What I've had to learn to do is pulling the trigger is a whole different thing for me because, you know, I've been through a lot of different levels of struggles and battles with people who are, you know, more powerful than me, had more money than me, had more everything than me, and more, you know, everything. So he would put me in a position for them to overtake me or overwhelm me. And then he says, you know, what are you going to do? I said, well, God, I don't know. Unless you tell me what
Trust
to do,
God.
I don't know what to do. I could do a lot of things. You know, you could talk to people, but what do you want me to do? He said, I'll tell you what I want you to know. I'm going like, oh, thanks a lot. I know what that means. Like at the last minute, just like what, like I was set up this time to get an attorney. I had approval to get the loan. I was ready to do it, and it was not cheap, and I didn't know what it was going to cost by the time it was all over with. And so, and this has happened just, you know, like a month ago, and I got it already, got it approved, had approval to do it, had the money to do it, got to just grab the money and went and gone and did it. And when I was all ready, man, had the approval and everything, the Lord says, okay, don't do it. I was ready to pull the trigger, man, like you said, and the Lord said, don't do it. Let me do it.
Amen.
So one of the things that happened, that's happening right now, is the same situation that I'm talking about with the attorney thing. So what's happening right now is, it's literally, should I talk about this? I don't know if I should talk about this or not. Maybe I shouldn't talk about that right now. Lord, did I talk about this? So I've been positioned where, you know, the Lord is, okay, so here's what's happening. So the people that are fighting me or that are trying to, you know, force me to do some things that I don't want to do, you know, that I feel like are not right. I feel like they're not doing the right thing. It's my opinion that they're not doing the right thing. And so you got to listen to this, man. It's amazing. So they sent me a lawsuit. They served me on the 26th of last month and gave me like 30 days. My expiration date goes on 30 days, right, to respond to this lawsuit. Well, guess when that 30 days period is? It's right in the middle of Passover. Right in the middle of Passover. In fact, it's on the 26th. Passover starts on the 22nd, and my expiration date to respond to this is on the 26th, which is right 4 days into Passover. And the person that's not directly suing me, but is part of the situation, guess what their last name is? Lamb.
Lamb.
Yeah. Passover, the person that is involved heavily in this thing, they're not named in the lawsuit because they're trying to get me to force. They're trying to force me to do something with my mom and dad's house. And so the person that's involved in this, his name is Lamb, and this is all happening at Passover. So I had an attorney. Right, I'm ready to fight. I got approval for a loan. I'm going to go after it, man. You know, I get, you know, several hundred, you know, several thousands of dollars are involved in it. So if I pay the attorney, you know, $10,000, I'm going to get, you know, a lot more than that out of it if I win, you know. And so I'm ready to go after it, right? I'm not afraid to get an attorney. I just did it, actually, and was ready to sign the contract when, I mean, literally the day I called the attorney, I said, so I'm ready now. Let's do this thing. He goes, okay, man. I'll send you the contract, and you pay the money, and you got me, and we'll go after these suckers. He talked bad. He said we're gonna go after them. We're gonna take them down. That's what he told me. I'm going like, I like this guy. He's from Texas, Amarillo, Texas, and so a big law firm there has several attorneys, many attorneys in it. It's a big law firm. Which I was recommended to get a big law firm. I'm going to go after these guys. The people I'm going after, you know, are pretty heavy duty. And so I'm ready, man. I'm ready to pull the trigger. Like Trump, the Lord said, don't do it.
Don't do it.
I went, Jesus, what's going on? He said, just watch me work, man. So I don't know what's going to happen. He may bless them with that house. He may give me some money from him. I may get, you know, part, you know, I'm going to get money either way on it because it's my mom and dad's part of my inheritance. So I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know in the long haul, because I did what God told me to do, it's like getting connected to the red heifer, getting connected to a bunch of other things, you know, prophetically speaking, you know, it's all because I just did these little things here and there, obedience, little here, little there, nothing big. Obedience, prophesied that guy, you know, many times, him and his family. He'd asked me to get, he came after me all the time. Brenda, can you come prophesy to my son? Can you come prophesy to my, I said, I would love to, Brian, I would love to do that. Just, so I'm working, you know, and so kind of find out years later, he's the one that's connected to the building of the temple. That tells the people building the temple to listen to what I have to say, because I might have something from God. I mean, dude, that was amazing. And so all
That's
those little things, little things like we're doing, what's going on right now, this little thing I did, you know, I mean, I'm ready to pull the trigger, dude. I'm not afraid. People say, yo, don't ever get an attorney. Yeah, in my case, it was a whole different thing going on. So I'm going after it, man. I'm not afraid to go after it. And I'm hiring a big law firm. I mean, a large law firm. And the attorney I'm getting is talking like he's going to go, we're going to whack them. We're going to whack them, man. We're going to whack these people for what they've done. Because I told him what they were doing. And he said, we're going to go after them, man. We're going to bust that up. I said, you're the kind of guy I need. And just let me get my money together because it's not cheap. And so I got approval for it. And like I said, the Lord said, don't do it. So anyway, that's what's going on with me right now. There's so many things happening right now that I'm overwhelmed in a good way because God is being really gracious to me. But interesting about the two witnesses thing, I know who the two witnesses are. I've seen them. I know who they are. And so I'm looking forward to the next phase with that. So pray for Israel, everybody. And let's believe God to do what he wants to do. All right,
I told you God was
going to
fight for you. I told you God was going to fight for you. Yeah. Real quick, I'll tell you a story that I heard about Brother Sandbach. It's how God sometimes waits to the last moment, just like he told you to don't do it, and you were ready to do the right thing. You weren't doing the wrong thing. But he had a better thing. God's way is better even than the right thing. So you were doing what was right, but God had a better right. So
that's
Brother
good.
Sandbach, R.W. Sandbach, he was believing God for $100,000. And he had to have the money by midnight of a certain day. And the money didn't come in the whole time he's waiting. It came down to that day, and it was soon to be midnight. And he needed the money, and he believed and trust God. And it was time to close the office and go out to the parking lot to leave. And he was praying, believing God, and the best thing he could do was just to keep believing God and stand on the word of God and believe that God was going to come through with $100,000. So he closed up the office and walked out to a parking lot, and a car drove into the parking lot as he's going out to his car, and somebody stepped out of the car or the truck and handed him a $100,000 check, and it was paid for right then at the very last minute, late in the midnight hour. God turns it around for you. God fights for you, and you get to come out on the other side, and you got the victory in Christ Jesus.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if you want to pray,
that is awesome.
That's a testimony. I like the stories of the ministers when you tell about what you've been through. I listened to Christian television for a long time, listening to stories of victories and how God works and how he'll come through and do miracles. Amen. But, yeah, if you want to pray for me, pray God's will. That God's will be done. I don't want to get into a lot of details, but just that God's will be done concerning my neighbors and my new place where I live. That God would fight for me as I know he would fight for his people. I said it, God will fight for you and you're going to win. I know it's going to happen, but it's better to have you pray than to be in it just praying by myself. I know your prayers are powerful too, but God's will be done where concerning my neighbors, my new place where I live, and a testimony real quick. I stopped drinking alcohol. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I was drinking alcohol for 5 years. I was drinking. I hadn't called into the show, and I hadn't really been around PGN in a long time. I was coming in and out and calling in sometimes, but for most of the time, I was on my porch drinking and just drinking alcohol getting drunk every night, and it was for a long time. Me and my wife were going through a lot, but she stuck by my side, thank God for my wife. I got delivered me 2 months ago, and
wow.
I haven't drinking any
awesome.
Alcohol yet at all. Yeah. And now I'm smoking cigarettes.
Man.
Praise
hey, what?
God. What'd you say?
That's a congratulations. That is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow.
But,
that's really cool.
Now, yeah, it is cool. And I feel like the Holy Spirit helped me quit. And now I feel
yeah.
like that he's going to help me with my neighbor's situation. And also, I'm still smoking cigarettes. And so I've been doing that a while, smoking cigarettes. But
I think last time we talked to you, you said you were smoking cigarettes then, too.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It took the Lord to break me free of it. I know that. It was really tough. I couldn't quit them.
Yeah. But here's the key, right? Because I'm smoking less. I'm spending less money because I don't buy from the store the cartons that they sell for $80 a carton. I'm buying it online. I'm rolling it myself and saving more than half the money, so my wife is happy with me. My wife is happy with me now because I'm not drinking, but she's twice as happy with me because I've been smoking roll-up cigarettes, and I'm not complaining about them for so long. I've been smoking. Also, I'm not smoking as many. And on top of that, it's good news on every corner for me. I have an appointment with a doctor in 3 weeks that I'm going to ask to be put on a medicine that helped me quit smoking last time several years ago when I wanted to quit. And I got on Wellbutrin, and Wellbutrin helped me for 4 months. I didn't smoke for 4 months. And then a long story how I got offended and I got back on smoking cigarettes. But
right.
But I was doing good. I was trucking along. I was breathing oxygen instead
yeah.
of breathing smoke. Doing good. So
yeah.
I was about to talk to this doctor in 3 weeks, and that's my plan, is talking to my doctor. I have appointments with doctors, and they help me, and I get medicine and things. And so now
yeah.
I'm like, okay. I can knock out, first the alcohol's gone, bam, boom, thank you, Jesus, praise God. The Lord did it. Now, the Wellbutrin could help pacify the cigarettes so I can wean myself off of it, and then I can quit taking the Wellbutrin as well. So all
right.
this praising God, happy, victorious, and
awesome,
like listening
man.
To your show, I'm getting revelations, I'm getting words, I'm amazed. I'm blessed at everything I listen to. I'm just blessed. And especially
yeah.
blessed listening to you. And then a neighbor complains about smoking. And I'm like, dude, are you serious right now? Like, do you understand what I've been through? I mean,
do you go outside in the backyard or something and smoke, and it goes right here?
Yeah, I'm on the bottom floor.
Okay.
I'm on
the bottom
floor, yeah.
Are you not,
and so,
well, so yeah,
yeah.
So if it's not illegal for you to smoke, I mean, it'd be good to stop smoking, but is it, you know, like, anyway, yeah. So interesting.
And,
we really pray about
yeah.
that. That's like a really important thing. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, my brother. I may have to get you to mute yourself because I'm not sure. Okay. Hang on a second. Let's see if it mutes it. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, it's not letting me mute you. For some reason, the blog talk is not working tonight on muting people. I can't, you know, when I get through with them, I can't mute them. So you have to mute yourself if you don't mind, and stay muted if you would, please.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my brother. God, we thank you, Jesus, for the smoking situation. Thank you so much, God, for this amazing blessing for the alcohol. Oh, my God, that is amazing. Woo! Hallelujah. We give you glory for that, Jesus. What a blessing for my brother tonight. God is so amazing, so awesome. And then the smoking thing, it's the next thing. He's on his way, you know. Sometimes you have to paint one picket at a time, you know, one thing at a time. It just depends on what's going on. You know, when I got saved, God, you know, graced me with delivering me, and I never went back. So I was grateful. I had friends who got delivered from smoking and went back to it, and it was really, really hard to quit after that. So I know it's really difficult. It takes the grace of God to do it. So thank you, Jesus, for giving him your grace, your unmerited favor, and opening him up to, you know, what you're saying, what you're doing with him, God, how you love him, Jesus, how you love Dan, God, you love his father, you love his family, you love them, Jesus, and your plan for him, God, is to hear your voice and to obey you, to hear your voice and obey you, to hear your voice and obey you, God. I thank you that he will hear your voice clearly, that all the things that hinder him from hearing your voice even more clear and more clear all the time is you're dealing with that, Father, all the condemnation. Sometimes when we're doing things we know we shouldn't be doing, you know, little or big, it doesn't matter. We have condemnation about that. You know, it's just the way it is. And so, and shame. And so as we get free of shame and guilt, and there's things I've been lived pretty good. God's been gracious to me. But you know what? Sometimes I feel shameful and guilty about little things that have nothing to do with anything. You know, I'm feeling shame and guilt. Like, so we have to learn to deal with that. It's a big thing that keeps us in bondage and stuff. So I thank you, Jesus, my brother, God. You're going to show him how to, you know, like I do communion. That's what one of the ways that God broke that with me was through communion, because every time I take communion, you're remembering what Jesus did for you instead of what you do for you. And so I started thanking God for what he was doing for me and focusing on what he did on the cross for me. And it just helped me, you know, to know that it's not about my work. It's about his works. And then I find myself doing the works of God even more so. It's amazing. So thank you, Jesus, for blessing God that you will help him with the smoking thing. And maybe the neighbor could be a thing you're talking about trying to sharpen you, trying to help you want to get rid of smoking even more. I mean, that could be what's going on with that, Dan, possibly. I don't know for sure. But sometimes God will bring people in my life that are a pain in the neck. It's like, what is going on out of people? You know, and it's like God, you know, shows me, it's like Joseph's brothers. You know, he would have never left his father. He was a favorite son. I mean, he would have never left his father had his brothers not got rid of him. And yet the whole time it was God's will. So, you know, we're talking about that earlier. But God uses people to even hate us and to despise us to get us pressured to go. Like he didn't have a choice. He was sent to Egypt without him even approving it. He would have never approved of that. So God had to set it up. His own father would have never said, "You're going off to Egypt, boy, because that's where you belong." He would have never done that. You know, we want you around. You're the favorite of the family. You're gonna be. But no, God says, I'm gonna help you get. You're gonna get out of town, baby. You're gonna go to Egypt where I'm gonna use you. And he didn't have a clue about what was happening, but it was painful, it was hurtful, it was hard, difficult. And by the grace of God, he saw that even what his brothers meant for evil, sometimes what people mean for evil, bro, is God trying to do a work with us, like you said earlier. You said that earlier yourself. So whatever's going on with that, we ask you to help the neighbor, help him, God, and to give him more zeal, I guess, of whatever Holy Ghost zeal, to stop smoking and helping with that, Jesus, as you already are. Amen. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the plan you've given him. And God, are you going to jump in there and help him out? Because you are our helper. Teach him how to learn to let you help him, Jesus. Amen. All right, let's go to the next caller here at 915-929. Who am I talking to from, please? Hello? Whoops. 915 went bye-bye all of a sudden. I clicked on him and we lost him. All right, 915, you're going to get on tonight. Get on. Here we are. I'll be waiting for you. Give you a moment. We have already taken the other caller. And the chance to get back on again. So while we're waiting for them to get back on, let's look here and see what's happening. Hopefully everybody's doing good. I was glad to hear him say that about how God's, you know, causes people to come against us to sharpen us, to make us, you know, wake up in areas, you know, that causes us to where we're not comfortable, where we have to seek God a little more, and that kind of thing. Like, and it causes us to, like Paul the Apostle had a thorn in the flesh, you know, and that thorn in the flesh caused him to trust in the grace of God. You know, it's really amazing. Trusting in the grace of God more than ever before. So, yeah, really interesting. All right, let me check out something here. All right. I don't know. This is 9-1. Okay, I don't know what happened. The phone went bad or something. Anyway, I don't have any more callers with a hand up. You want to get your hand up and share and talk and do whatever? Get on there and waiting for 915 to get back on there. Trying to look it up here.
Hey, Randy.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to tell you, you encouraged me, too, by being so open. And I think that you really strategize on that a lot. You try to be so transparent sometimes. It seems like sometimes it's even dangerous how transparent you really are. But you've encouraged me many times when you talk about Julie. Because I feel my wife sometimes, a lot of times, acts like your wife. And I think that you're encouraging more people than you realize and sharing those things. It was really refreshing the other day when I said, I'm not alone. It's nice not to be alone with. Like Job's wife sometimes didn't act the way that you would expect a wife to treat a man who's been through Job's situation. But when we know that there's people in the Bible who've already been through it, then we can go through it too. And that's what I just want to thank you for your stories and being so raw. You're a raw prophet. Thank you for that.
Call me Rondi. Prophet Rondi. I just thought about that. We'll change my name to Rondi. Warndy, Rondi. And we'll make a rap song about it, like Rondi. He's so raw. Raw, raw, raw for Rondi because he's so raw. Roddy. He's so raw. Oh, Randy, he's a raw, raw guy because he's raw. Because he saw
Rain.
Being raw,
raw
was the way to go. Go ahead. Take off, man. Take it from there.
Randy, he's raw. He's the shepherd over y'all. You wouldn't bow down, but you are going to fall. When you step against the God sent man from the rod, you're going to realize that God had a plan for all of y'all. Because Randy's so raw. Raw. Randy's so raw. Randy's giving words straight from the God, straight from the God who blooded the rod. When Randy comes speaking words of God, all his enemies fall because he's raw. All his enemies fall because he's raw.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, and because he's so raw, they're all going to fall. All those liars, they're going to be dying. Yeah.
Good point. You know it.
There you go. Yeah, this is a night. I can't mute anybody. So I guess God has designed our show tonight so people can jump in. I guess that's a good thing. Kind of like being on Zoom a little bit. Thank you for that. Yeah, we're a poet and we know it. thank you for that. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. And my last caller just dropped off and then nobody else has their hand up. But I don't know what's going on. Maybe put your hand up if you 111 used to be 915. I'm not sure. You got to put your hand up because I don't know. We got 2 111, so I can't tell which one of you is 915 with the 111 number. So put your hand up if you want. So yeah, we're talking about the raw because Randy saw that being raw is going to help y'all. So he went raw on you, like. But God said to Jesus, talking about being raw, well done. So well done can be fun if you're the son, because the father said, not raw, but he said, well done. But Jesus was raw, but he was also well done because he did it well. He got it done. Uh-oh. Go ahead. Just jump in there, man.
Yeah. Well done. It is finished. Jesus got the job done. The enemy's diminished. Crushed his head because he's God's son. Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah, because sometimes you need to be raw. Jesus would say in the raw way, you snake, you vipers. Yeah. Your father is the devil. Yeah, because I'm going to level with you. I'm going to be raw with you. I'm going to level like the devil is trying to mess with you. Yeah, so I'm going to be raw when I have to be raw. Yeah, so y'all can solve. Hey, come on. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Enjoy
both of that. And nobody's raising their hands, so everybody's afraid to raise their hand because they don't know how to rap. That's the problem. You've got to learn how to rap if you're going to sap all the glory out of God. You want to sap the glory out of God, so you're going to have to rap. Because when you rap, you sap. You sap it all out. You're drawing it out of the Father. He said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. So come on, let's sap it. Let's sap it from the Father. He's got plenty. Don't worry. He's not going to run out. That's no doubt. Come on. He's a raw sometimes. He is raw sometimes, but then he's well done, and he did it well. Because he can be raw. He's not hot, and he's not cold. He's hot, and he's cold. He's not lukewarm. Yeah, because he's raw and he's well done. Therefore, he's not anything in the middle. He's the Son of God. Yeah. And the ephod, because we've got the ephod, the raw ephod. The ephod is raw. It tells you exactly what God wants to do. Yeah, hallelujah. Tells you what to do. When David sought God, he went to the priest, and the priest got the ephod, and the ephod was raw. The raw word of God said, go after them, David. Take them all down. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Anyway, something like that.
God's not hot and God's not cold. God is both hot and cold, real bold. Talk to the Pharisees, tell them what they told. At the end of the day, the best shepherd we know. God taught us the ways of the world. He taught us not to follow those ways of the world. God taught us the ways of the, what?
The Lord.
Religion of the Lord. How to love your neighbor and to walk in one accord. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I guess we can rap all night. Nobody going to get their hand up there. We'll be rapping. We're going to sap all the glory out of the stories. We're going to sap all the strength. Because when you hear a story, you hear God's glory in every story that comes from God, because, yeah, it's raw and it's well done at the same time.
Yeah, trust in God. That's what we do. We keep it real raw just for you, telling stories real raw. Yes, yes, y'all, everywhere we've been, even in the backyard, when we've been doing things rolling down the boulevard, we give our testimony in the spirit and truth. Tell it's not for lonely. Jesus died for you. He raised from the dead, raised on the third. He's coming back soon. Haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? have it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before he comes, he's going to shake it up good. He's going to shake it, baby, shake it, baby, shake it all night long. God's going to shake it. He's going to shake it, baby, all night long. He's going to be telling his woman, the church of God, shake it, baby, all night long, because we're going to shake the earth, going to shake everything that could be shook, so everything can come loose, so you can take it back for me, and I'm going to come back and take it all back for me, saith the Lord.
Ooh.
Shake it, baby. We're going to shake it, baby. Come on, Jesus talking to his girl saying, we're going to shake it, baby. We're going to shake it all night long. We're going to run around all over town. We're going to run around all over the ground, all over the globe. We're going to take it back because we're going to shake it, baby, all night long.
Yeah. Woo! Randy's got
Hallelujah.
The bride of Christ shaking it.
That's right. It says shake it, bride.
And then is he going to take what is that? Take it.
There you go.
He'll get you on the spot.
There you go. Take it. Don't be faking. Don't be doing no faking, though. That's what the Pharisees did, was faking. We don't want to fake it. We want to make it. Yeah. So shake it, baby, shake it until it's all revealed, and then we're going to take it because God really shakes it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Just like the snake that attached to the hand, Paul shook that snake. So you got to shake it, man. You got to shake, shake snake. Got to shake. Make the earthquake. Got to shake the snake. Because you're not anyone with condemnation. You're a holy priesthood of God. And a royal generation, you got to shake off the snake and keep going, fighting for the Lord's way, for goodness sake. You got to take it and shake it. Shake it.
Yeah, because he shook that island, because all those natives in the island needed to be shaken. And so they saw Paul shake it off his hand. And when he shook that snake, they all went, oh, my God, he's a God. No, he said, I'm just a servant. I've come to shake it. We're going to shake it, baby, all night long. So he started having revival going through the town from the leaders all the way down to the ground. And he shook it, baby, and he walked out of that place. And God did his thing, and he gave him his grace. Yeah. Hallelujah. And glory to God. We shook that place with the glory of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
And after he got the grace, he stayed in the race.
Yeah.
He stayed in his race. He shook it in his place.
But those that endure to the end. So just begin to glean.
Amen.
So when we shake it, baby, when we shake it all night long, when the church and I come, when we all get along, and the church and I get along, we're going to sing a song. We're going to shake it, baby, all night long, because we're going after it all. Yeah. And there ain't going to be no more stall. We ain't stalling no more. We're going after it now. So get off that couch and let's go for it.
Keep shaking, baby, shaking till you're white without no blemish. God's coming back for a bride like a thief in the night. You got to keep shaking, baby, till your garment's all white. He's coming back for a bride that's without blemish. When he comes back like a thief in the night, you got to shake, keep running the race. If you look real clean, then keep on shaking until you see the sky split, till you see that Son of God come back, and that's it.
Yeah.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
Go, girl. Shake that thing. Who would ever thought we'd be giving them blog talks talking about girls shake that thing? But when they, y'all know what kind of thing we're talking about, right? We're talking about shaking it like God said, I'm going to shake heaven, I'm going to shake earth, and I'm going to, like, make it work.
Oh, yeah.
I see, yeah. I see that, yeah. I see now. I was thinking you were talking about shaking some other thing, but you talk about, oh, yes, everything, even the powers of heaven will be shaken. Keep shaking, shaking, shaking. Shake it, baby, shake it.
Yeah, because when the body of Christ is being used with the power of God, what happens? It shakes up Paul. Everywhere Paul went, he shook up things. He shook up the city. The demons came out of the woodwork going, who just came in town? We don't know who this guy is. He's scaring us. We're going to get rid of him. So they would attack him because he shook it up, baby. Just like that's kind of one thing that Donald Trump did. That I liked about Donald Trump is that he shook up things. He shook it, baby. Did he ever shake it? And, you know, things came out of the woodwork that have never been, you know, really. So thank God for him. Although, you know, yeah. So when I was thinking about shaking it, we can do both, shaking it both ways. We can shake it loose from us, shake the snake. We can do all that stuff. Shake the snake, shake and bake. We can shake and bake, baby. We're going to shake and bake. We're going to shake God cooking up a deal with feeding you his meal. So when you eat his body, you're gonna, you know, end up in the potty because you're gonna pee it all out and get it all out so he can fill you back up with a brand new look. He's gonna give you new wine so that you can dine with the heavenly angels, because when you drink his wine, you're gonna be filled with love from above, and they're gonna shake it, baby, all night long.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
We have never done this before. Do what?
Y'all got it going on. And you know it's good as gold because the story now has been told.
Yeah. Go, girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all know, look what happened tonight. I came on, the system wasn't working earlier because Deborah had to cancel her show at 7 o'clock. And I'm thinking, so I set up a show for Zoom and just in case Blog Talk didn't work. And all of a sudden I'm on Blog Talk going, oh, my God. But it's still not working very well. Like I can turn you guys on to hear you, but I can't turn it off. You know, so you have to meet. So how did God we shook it up, man. Because we didn't go for this thing. Oh, it's not working. I'm going to end the show. No, what happened? We start rapping. That's what happened. We start rapping. And when you're rapping with the Lord, he brings everything to one accord. And we start shaking it, baby, all night long.
Yeah.
After we started rapping, he sapped it. And now we can sub with him.
Yeah. Yeah, rapping.
They got the songs of shake, 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 shake the devil off. Put him under your feet and shake the devil off.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Dan in a long time. It's been a long time I've talked to Dan.
It's been a while, bro. It's been a while.
Now,
man,
we're talking.
We
talked about rapping. The last time I remember talking to you, one of the things we talked about a few times was rapping. You talk about you rapping, and then all of a sudden tonight, you know, we're coming on the show, and what are we doing? We're just doing nothing but rapping. That's all we're doing, basically. I mean, as far as overall.
Thank you, dude. Yeah, thank
I love
you,
that.
Lord. That's a blessing. I've been blessed with it. I know I've been blessed. I got testimonies of how God has really blessed me through that music talent and rap music. God's really blessed me. I was thinking what shakes up the place is the praise of God. When you praise God, that's what shakes it up. That's what happened in the book of Acts when Peter started to praise God. That's what caused the earthquake to break him out of jail. It was the praises. So it's like,
yeah,
you want to be raw for people. You want to be down to earth. You want to be real to help people. And you're being vulnerable that way by actually trusting God that he's going to take care of you when you tell people your story. But you're praising God through it. You're not just telling something just for no reason, complaining, or you're not just telling something out of a wrong motive or a heart. You're telling something for the glory of God. You're doing it to give God glory and praise. You're praising God through the storm, and it's helping somebody else get through the storm.
Yeah.
The praises of God shook the prison cells, and they opened up. The doors opened up, and then they walked out and continued to do God's work. The praises of God made the blessings come down. The earth started shaking, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
Yeah.
Shaking, baby, shaking. Yeah.
He's talking baby to his church, like, you know, shake it, baby. I think there's some song that Jerry Lee Lewis or somebody did years ago, you know, shake it, baby. But I started seeing that kind of like, you know, the Lord says to his church, you know, come on, baby, we're going to shake it. We're going to, like Paul, like you just said, Peter and those guys start praying, and when they're praying, started shaking, and Lord saying, come on, baby, let's get it, start praying, church, let's start praying, Bob. Shake it so we can shake it, shake it, baby. And all the people that are in bondage because they've been put in prison because of the people who misunderstood and don't know what's going on, you know, shake it, baby, shake it all night long. I mean, they got out of prison and went out and preached the gospel. Yeah. So that was amazing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something's happening tonight. Something's happening tonight. That just like last week, I was on the show with Glenn on Monday, and Glenn and I were talking about some stuff, and then all of a sudden Nicole comes on, and so I start talking to Nicole from DC, and she starts talking about how the prophetic helps you to prepare mentally for things. If God tells you ahead of time, then you're kind of more mentally prepared. You may not be perfectly prepared, but you got an idea. And then all of a sudden I started thinking about that lady from Texas that I gave a word to that ended up in Israel. And I saw, you know, explosions going off all around her and didn't have a clue that Saddam Hussein, you know, God knew Saddam Hussein was going to be striking Israel with missiles, dirty bombs. He didn't actually hit it with dirty bombs, but they are afraid. And he told that lady 2 years in advance to get ready because I thought it was going to happen in Texas. You know, when I saw that, I'm going like, is that going to happen in Texas, God? Because at the time, in 1994, 1995, 1996, they were talking a lot. In 84, 85, there was a movie out with Patrick Swayze and some other people about Red Dawn, talking about Russia or being invaded by an outside force. And so there was a lot of talk about that, right? At the time, so when I gave her that word, I'm thinking maybe Russia's going to, or somebody's going to attack, you know, the oil, because I was in an oil town, Monahan, Texas, when I gave her that word. And so when I saw those explosions going off around her in the spirit, I thought the spirit, I'm thinking maybe, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they're going to attack. I don't know. You know, I didn't know how to understand it. But God knew that Saddam Hussein, about a year or two years later, was going to attack Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Only God knew that. Nobody knew that. Israel didn't even know it. Nobody knew it. Not even Saddam Hussein, I don't think, knew it at the time. And all of a sudden, God, he's warning this woman. And so that's the example I used with Nicole when she started talking about how that, you know, the prophetic can prepare you for things emotionally.
I heard you.
Yeah, so, right. And so all of a sudden, and then that was on Monday, right? We're talking, out of the blue, I have a bunch of testimonies about people I could have used as examples of how the prophetic helped them emotionally. But that, for some reason, that lady came up that night, on Monday night. So what happened on Saturday, that was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, what happened? Israel was attacked with missiles for the first time since that time that lady went there. And I thought, that's amazing, y'all, that we were talking about that lady that night when I was talking to Nicole about, because when she's talking about how it affects me emotionally, I'm going like, that lady just came to my mind just like that, just out of the blue.
I could have talked about a bunch, but that one came up. And so, and God knew that in six days on a Saturday, whenever it's going to be, 6 days later, that Iran was going to be attacking Israel with missiles, just like Saddam Hussein attacked with missiles when she was there, and God told her 2 years in advance that she was going to be right there. We didn't know he was going to be in Iran, but I mean in Israel, but that's what happened. And then, you know, look at how God connected all that, even though I didn't know what I was talking about. I'm just talking about that lady. And then, you know, boom, man, like we're talking tonight about shaking. The reason I'm saying this is because tonight we're talking about shaking. And I have a feeling that there's some shaking about to go on. I don't know what it's going to be, earthquakes, because I've gotten words about earthquakes before. And I've told that testimony many times, how God showed me an earthquake in Lubbock, Texas, and that I had also got a word about an earthquake in Dallas, Texas, believe it or not. All documented, proven by, you know, at least 30 people that I told that to here in Dallas when I moved to Dallas. I said, y'all, there's an earthquake going to shake Dallas. Everybody said, man, earthquakes don't shake Dallas, Texas. I don't remember exactly how long it was after that, a few months. Boom, one morning, earthquake shook Lubbock, Texas. I mean Dallas, Texas. Everybody's going like, oh, my God, Dallas, Texas. So my friends who I told that to freaked out. They go, Randy, you told us about that, you know, several months ago. And I go, yeah, I know. I saw it in the spirit. And Dallas just doesn't have earthquakes, right? So something's happening tonight about shake it, baby.
Yeah.
So get ready. Or something in the globe. Shake it, baby.
It seems like when you start talking about something.
God said to shake the heavens, the earth. They don't know he is the Lord and King of Kings.
Okay, hang on a second. I'm just getting these thoughts about an earthquake. I gave a word. This is a private word I gave years ago to a well-known prophet and her husband, Cindy Jacobs and Mike Jacobs. I gave it to them. I told Mike Jacobs, I said, God is going to shake Iran and their sites where they have their, where they build their missiles, where they have their atomic, what do they call that? I can't even think of the name of it. Where they make
uranium.
Uranium. Thank you. Where they make all that. And I gave him, I told him this back in, when was that? That was in 2005, maybe 2006, 2007. I said, I saw Iran and some of an earthquake shaking there where they make that stuff. You know, like an earthquake shaking it.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was a long time ago. And so tonight, I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I'm just thinking about that because I have had earthquake, you know, work before. So, but I don't know. Something's going to shake. Maybe Israel's going to shake. I don't know what's going to shake. Something's going to shake, and it's going to be amazing. We've been having some earthquakes lately, as y'all know. Taiwan had one, and then who else had one? California? California had an earthquake? Yeah, I think California had an earthquake. So we're going to see some shaking going on. I don't know where, maybe in Iran, in that area. And so to deal with some of their nuclear sites, and it could be shaken, and Israel could bomb them, those nuclear sites. You know, that could be part of the shaking that I saw, because what I told those people that I'm talking about, I told them that instead of having, because they're going to try to, Israel was going to try to bomb, this is years ago, back in the 2005, 2006, 2007, somewhere. I told them that they can't reach them it's very difficult to reach them with the bombs that they have, but God was going to shake it. So he may do both. They may bomb it and the earthquake may shake it at the same time. I don't know, but something like that is what I'm thinking. And there's a city called Azerbaijan. There's a country called Azerbaijan. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's not a very well-known country, but it's right there around Georgia. I've been to Georgia. Georgia is right next, not Georgia in America. Georgia the country Georgia, and Azerbaijan and Turkey and all those countries are right there together. And God's spoken one time about Azerbaijan. Huh?
I said, well.
Yeah, Azerbaijan is a place to where I think that the military, the Asia, when they come to attack Israel, they're going to come through Azerbaijan. I saw that in the spirit. I was actually in Georgia, which is a country Georgia. I was there. We were helping building a church for some people there, and I went up on a mountain one night to pray. Well, I got up early in the morning actually, and got up and went up on a little hill, and I prayed, and I didn't even know that area, right? I'm not familiar with Georgia at all, but I was there. I was there for about a week, and I'm looking out, and all of a sudden in the spirit realm, I saw, you know, like, I don't know if it was Russia going down through Azerbaijan or going down through that area. And, you know, but I saw that in the spirit. And I told my pastor who I was with at the time, a pretty large church, about 1,300 people, something like that at the time I was going there. And I told him, I saw that happening. And so I don't know what's going on. It's something in that arena, in that area right there, is that Azerbaijan was going to do something with Iran. Azerbaijan, somehow or another, was going to help take down Iran or a part of it through Azerbaijan. And like most people don't know what Azerbaijan is, you have to look it up. But it's right there, right next to Iran, in between Iran and Georgia. I don't have a map in front of me, but I see it in my mind. And then you know, Turkey's kind of right in that area too. They're kind of all right there together, and in Russia. So something's going on there. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll see what goes on, but anyway. All right. We've been rapping Shake It, Baby. You're not even know what we're doing.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dan. What you say, Dan? Okay.
So powerful that we'll all feel it.
What did she say, Dan? I can't hear
it. Yeah, I missed it.
Okay, I mean, I can't hear it either. I can't understand it.
I heard in the prophecy one time that the whole world gonna know about
Oh, I don't know if I believe that one. Yeah, I've heard about that big earthquake. An earthquake so big that you're going to feel the vibrations. I don't know about all that. I believe maybe possibly later during the vials and the plagues and the trumpets and the seals and things. I just don't know. Some prophet says that there's going to be an earthquake, that the whole world's going to feel it. It's possible. I just don't know if I believe it. But, yeah, I was going to say, I pray that God divorce our enemies, and that I know God's going to fight for us, and that he will show mercy to his people. And he's going to shake our enemies. And God will shake everything, the Bible says. Everything will be shaken that can be shaken. And even the powers of heaven will be shaken. So that's what God would do. That I would agree with his word that he's going to rise up and shake our enemies and show favor to Israel and not favor to the enemies of God, that we would have favor. I know that things you said before have happened. Just listening to your show, I prayed, Randy, that I was prophesying one time years ago when I used to call in, and I was talking about sinkholes are going to increase. There are going to be more sinkholes. And one night when I was talking about sinkholes, you were talking about something, and you said butter, you weren't even talking about sinkholes. You were talking about butter, something about somebody's going to be like butter or something. It was a prophecy. You know how you get creative
yeah.
with your prophecies and you describe somebody, yeah. And okay. you were describing something with butter. And I looked on the news, and there was a sinkhole in Lando Lakes, Florida. And immediately when I seen Lando Lakes, I thought your
oh.
words. I thought he said
that's butter.
The butter, that's
Lando,
butter.
It's called Lando Lakes. Wow.
Lando Lakes. Yes.
Yeah, Lando Lakes, that's the butter, yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
And the Lord said to me, that's the power of the prophecy. That's the power of the spirit of prophecy, which you would say something, and it's so powerful because we're all connected. We might not realize it or not, but the whole body is joined together, like it talks about in the book of Ephesians. But everybody's connected and affects each other in some way or fashion. And so whether or not we agree on something, it's more powerful. If we sat and said, bless this nation or bless these people, and I said it and you said it, and we touch and agree, Jesus said anything we touch, two or more agree, touching anything, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. We have that agreement, that power there with the power of prayer, of the prayer of agreement. But when I was talking about sinkholes, it had nothing to do with butter, and it wasn't a specific place. I didn't have a certain location at that time. I was saying, oh, God's going to show a sign, a wonder of a sinkhole in Lando Lakes. I didn't say that. I was just
yeah.
talking about sinkholes, and you spoke up, and the Holy Spirit was talking to someone and about their situation and mentioned butter and knocked two birds out with one stone. You were ministering
yeah.
to somebody on the show. At the same time,
I got
your
it, yeah.
words were going forward and,
wow.
And causing things to happen in Lando Lakes, and you didn't even realize what you were doing.
That's awesome. And Nicole sent something. She said, your enemies, we were about 10:43, we were rapping, I think. I didn't even see this until just now, but she sent something that says, your enemies are going to fall. They're going to start dropping like flies.
Amen. Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah.
I got that one. Yeah, that's one that I relate. I bear witness to that one. I just said that yesterday.
Yeah.
My enemies will
oh,
drop
yeah.
like flies. Dropping like
oh, really?
Flies.
Yeah.
I just
awesome.
Said that,
awesome.
Yeah. That,
wow.
That's
cool.
been in my spirit. Yeah. That was Nicole.
Nicole from D.C., yeah,
yeah,
she just texted me that at 10:40. I didn't see the text until just now, but so about 30 minutes ago, 25 minutes ago, she texted that and said, your enemies are going to fall. I think we were rapping at that time about
oh,
shake
okay.
it, shake it, baby, and maybe you said something about, well, I don't remember. I don't know exactly what was going on with
yeah.
that. But, and
enemies
I don't know if you're
still listening or not. Amen, and
like
the rockets
flies.
Fall
yeah,
out of
yeah.
the sky. Enemies drop like flies. All Iran's rockets fall right out of the sky. Yeah. Praise
yeah.
God. Hallelujah.
Yeah, shake it, baby, shake it. Shake
it
all night long.
Yeah.
Something about that shake it all night long, too. I don't know about all night, what all night long means. I know that, so shake it all night long. So maybe there's going to be,
through,
I don't know, some
through the,
balmy.
Through the tribulation. That's all night, not being raptured, but being here while he's doing the shaking all night.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. All night long, all during
all
the,
night.
The night, we're going to shine real bright. All during the
yeah.
night, we're going to shine real bright. All night long, we're going to sing a song. All night long, we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing it. It's going to be real long because it ain't going to stop until everything drops. Dropping right out of the sky like a fly. Wow, that was a good one.
Hey.
Woo!
God bless you.
Hallelujah, man. Something's happening tonight, y'all. I can tell you, something is happening
yeah.
tonight. He says, I just need my baby. That's the church, his girl, his woman. I just need my baby so we can shake it, maybe shake it, baby, using my baby to shake it. Just, I just need y'all, like you said, Peter, like you were talking about earlier, Peter just kind of, they started praying. Well, that was, you know, that's the church. That's his baby. You know, shake it, baby. Yeah. When he started praying, everything started shaking. And because he was praying and everything started shaking, everything started falling to the ground, falling from the sky like a bunch of dead flies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shake it, baby. Shake it. All night long. All night long. I like what you said about that. That's really good. That's a really good way to see that. All night long, during all night. All during the darkest hour. The darkest
hour. Yeah, the
hour.
Darkest hour.
Yeah, he's going to shower his people with blessings. In the darkest hour, he's going to shower you with blessings to show you that I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're going to walk through a valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to be there like I was with Macbeth. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take you. I'm going to shake you. I'm going to love you all night long. Yeah, we're going to show my love all night long. Going to show my love all night long. You're going to sing a song about how long. Yeah, about how long. We're going to get along. Going to get along real long time. Eternity because of the tree. Got eternity because of the tree. What Jesus did on that tree gave us eternity, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? I'm getting loaded. I might as well just give it all. Put it, get it all out there.
Yeah. When God shakes us, he shakes us to sharpen us, just like I said about a brother that would sharpen another brother. It's to make you stronger. God will shake you to make you stronger. When he shakes your enemies, it's for your benefit and it's for his glory and it's to help you. But when he shakes you, he's getting the best out of you and he makes you even stronger, you know, after you get shaken. Sometimes he shakes you, baby.
He's shaking his baby. He's shaking his baby. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. It's not a bad thing that God's shaking you. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that way when he gets through shaking you, ain't nothing else can be moved. Because when he shakes you, anything that's not a God, it falls off of you. That's a good thing.
Right. His shaking is so strong. It's the strongest shaking there is shaking. So when the strong shaking shakes you, then no other strong shaking can shake.
That'll make it
you
strong
the,
right there.
Yeah. It's like the fire. Every man's work will be tested by fire. If the fire burns everything, but what you got ain't burning, then that's real fruit. That's some good gold. That's some good reward waiting and stored. If the fire of God burns you, you shouldn't be afraid. You should be happy and that you're saved. Because you're not going to be burned in the fire. You got the test of God, that after God has finished his test and shaking you and taking you through and purging you through the fire, you have fruit that will last forever and ever and ever and ever. And nobody can take that fruit from you, and nobody can take your reward. Amen. We invite the shaking. We don't invite it, not knowing that God is powerful. We know he's not playing games, but we say we're not afraid because we want what God wants so much. We desire the heart of God and to love God and to please him, that God would burn and send your fire and burn everything that's not of you. Burn, take everything out of my life that's not of you. Everything in me, on me, around me. Send your fire and trust in God. You said earlier you trusted God, and and you said, I'm not going to sue. I trusted God that he's going to take care of me, so I'm not going to sue. You trust God to burn and shake whatever can be shaken. And I pray that. I don't know if maybe I'm the only one, but I can't be the only one that says, have mercy on me. I know you're going to shake everything. I know you're going to burn everything that's not like you. And I ask God to send us fire. David said, test me and search me and see if there be any, what do you say, something, if any ways not of you. He said something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We invite God to test us, search us. That way we can stand, like you said, and nobody else can shake us because we've already been shaken by the hand of the Creator. And so we're strong and we're confident and we can do the will of God and we can praise God from a pure heart because we've been through the fire. We've been through the shaking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I pray, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy. And that's just realizing how powerful he is and what he could actually do. I say, Lord, send your fire. Lord, shake me to the core. But I say, Lord, have mercy on me. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Awesome. That's it, man. And because when you've been shaken, when God shakes you, like you said, that's a really good word, how that when he shakes us, you know, nothing can shake anything like God shakes. He shakes everything. And when he gets through shaking it, what's left, you know, he burns up what's messing with you. Sometimes we want to hang on to those things because we think that they're good. And God knows that they're not. He burns them. Yeah, he spurns them. He spurns them, and he burns them.
Yeah.
And then he turns them into blessings for us.
Burns them and turns them.
Spurn. Also the word spurn. I don't know what spurn means. Spurn means, I think, I don't know what that means.
Okay. Burns them and spurn.
Well, both. I said all those words.
Oh,
but I also added
turn
spurn, S-P-U-R-N. Somebody might look that up real quick. I'm not in front of a where I can do that. It's a second. So, spurn. What does spurn mean? Spurn. S-P-U-R-N.
When you spurn his rebuke, that's not a good thing.
Okay.
That's not a good thing when you spurn his rebuke. Spurning is like rejecting. But if God rejects you in a good way, if God rejects you in such a way that he rejects you in a way that a loving father rejects his son, then nobody else can reject you and affect you. Well, if God would spurn you, then you're being spurned with a good spurn from a good hand of a loving father. That's
the good spurn is that you reject with disdain or contempt. In other words, you turn from things. You're turning from something. You're spurning.
Yeah.
You're rejecting it. You're rejecting that that compromise. You're rejecting that thing. Yeah. So it goes both ways.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Anything God does,
that's the word
good.
Spurn.
Spurn. Yeah.
Yes.
Anything
we can spurn in a good way. We can spurn in the bad way.
Yeah. There you go. That would be true. Yeah, to spurn something, burn.
Because burn. We were talking about turning
mm-hmm.
from, and spurning. The same, it's kind of the same thing. You turn and you spurn because God can burn it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Cool,
too.
Man.
Yeah.
There you go. That makes sense.
Okay, I'll take that. Turn and don't burn. Amen. And spurn.
Yeah, you turn, because you turning means you're spurning. If you're turning, that means you're spurning. Because you're spurning, you're calling those things that are evil, evil, instead of like saying, oh, they're okay. You're rejecting them. They're contemptible to you. You disdain them.
Resist the devil.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Resist. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. But resist the devil, submit to God, and resist the devil. Spurn evil ways. Spurn dishonor for God's presence, turn and turn from unwholesome talking. Yeah.
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 Or to spurn, I'm looking it up on it, to reject with disdain. In other words, spurn, S-P-U-R-N, is a very strong rejection, contemptible. Like, it's not just you're not hot, like you're not cold, you're really hot toward it. You're really rejecting it and disdaining it and in contempt. You're scorning it, to tread sharply or heavily upon. To tread, spurn means to tread sharply. Like Jesus put his head on that snake and stomped his head with his heel. Yeah, to trample, or heavily upon, to trample. To tread sharply or heavily upon, to trample. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's a strong word, spurn. That's one of the words. I wasn't even sure what spurn meant. I'm going like, I think it means something like rejecting something, but I wasn't sure. So I looked it up there. Yeah.
I saw the proverb that says spurning discipline. It says something about not to spurn discipline, because somebody who is not using wisdom is spurning their father's discipline. And that's something you don't want to do when God is disciplining you, is to tread upon what he's doing or to resist it. Yeah, I think about Apostle Paul when Jesus said, why do you kick? It's useless to kick against the goads, because the goads were supposed to be for helping the flock. The goads were used to help the flock for their own good. But God was saying Apostle Paul was kicking against the goads. And he was trying to resist the goats that were trying to help him, because he was trying to kill the Christians. But God says it's useless to do that. It's useless, because God is God. And he's going to succeed even though you're killing Christians. Jesus is the Lord you're persecuting. He's the one that's going to herd, or I don't want to say herd, but pasture his sheep or herd his flock in such a way that even if you resist him, you're going to find out you can't. You can't keep kicking against the goads, Paul. What's up with you? And that's when Paul was realizing he was doing wrong. He was resisting the thing that he was trying to do.
Yeah.
For God was actually...
He thought
actually,
he was doing right, but he wasn't. Yeah.
He thought he was doing right. And so he was spurning the message of the cross. He was spurning the Christians or the spirit of Jesus. He was turning from it, and God saying, you can't turn away from me forever. It doesn't do no good to keep turning away from the truth.
Yeah.
So.
He was the very thing he thought he was helping. He was messing with, and that's why Jesus said, "Man, that's why he knocked him off his horse and said, dude, you know, you are such a donkey, man. What's wrong with you?" And he knocked him off his horse. He goes like, "You're persecuting me." He goes, "Lord," like he didn't even know the Lord, but he went, "Lord." Yeah, and it kind of woke him up. And then the first thing that God did to him is send somebody to prophesy to him. Isn't that amazing? I love that stuff. Sent somebody to prophesy to him. Ananias was sent to prophesy to him. And the word he got wasn't exactly rosy either. He said, you're going to suffer much, but God's really going to use you. It's going to be powerful, but you're going to suffer much. I mean, how many people want like that kind of word? Most people don't want that word. I rebuke that word. I spurned that word.
I spurned that.
I kick against that goat.
I kick against that.
So, like you're talking about tonight, some of the greatest things in the last 5 years, I've gone through a whole different level of things that I've never been through in my life, and things that were way higher than me, bigger than me, you know, overwhelming me, and yet every time God delivered me, every time, without doing much of anything, except just learning. The whole thing was about, he was teaching me. I was learning the ways of God in a way that I've never learned them before. And then I watched him literally deliver me and then turn my enemies, some of them, I don't know if they became my friends exactly, but some of those people that were my enemy, they kind of went, man, who is this guy? They couldn't figure out, you know. And he doesn't go down. Like, I guess they're used to people being fearful. The strategies that they tried to use against me were fear.
Okay.
They tried to literally use fear. I mean, literally fear to take me down. And instead, the fear just made me happy. You know, I mean, I got goosebumps off of it. It's like God says, I've made you for rejection. I've made you for this. And so because I'm made for it, then it doesn't bother me as much, you know, when I get rejected or people try to put fear in me. You know, I've made you for this. You're made for this. Like that's what God's portraying me as a prophet. My particular job as a prophet is that he says, I've made you for this. That's why it's not because you're so wonderful. And that's why you're so great. You know, that's why you're so powerful. It's more of a fact that, do you know what? Somebody's telling me that nobody can hear the caller. They can't hear you. So I guess Blog Talk is messed up. I can hear you, but so nobody else can hear you.
I don't know if I believe that.
I'm unmuted
now.
Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't know that. Thank you. Cheryl from Florida just told me, you know you can't hear the caller, only you.
Oh, you're talking to yourself, Randy. I'm right here.
Yeah, I can hear you, but
see,
something's wrong with the switchboard tonight because the switchboard's not working. I mean, very well. It's messed up because it's not. I'm trying to mute people. I can't mute them. I'm trying to turn them on. It doesn't. So I didn't know that you were muted because that little light doesn't shine right now. It's broken.
Okay.
Yeah, the light will tell me that you're on, and that way. So she was just telling me. Thank you, Cheryl, for that. She was just telling me, you know, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard you're unmuted, and I can't be unmuted because I was just talking and I was unmuted, so I can't be unmuted now. I was already unmuted.
You were. You and I could hear each other, because the switchboard is broken, obviously, because I found that out with my first caller when I'm talking to. Yeah, let's see. Hang on a second. Yeah, when I'm talking to Sonia and Dorothy, that's when I figured out, I can't turn you all off and I can't turn you on. How did I get you on in the first place? I don't even know. I'm clicking buttons and things are happening, but sometimes they're not happening. So anyway, thank you, Cheryl, for that. That just, you know, that way at least people can hear what's going on. She said, the only people can hear you is you. I'm going like, what? So that's when I clicked on you, and you could hear it say unmute, but I can't see it on my end because it's broken on my end.
Oh. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
so that was good information. Go ahead.
No, thank you, Cheryl. That's good. We know what we're doing now. Yeah.
Yeah. We thought we knew what we were doing, but we didn't. Right there. We thought we were on track, but we weren't. So anyway, now
we were.
I didn't
Apostle
even know
Paul.
That.
Yeah.
There you were. Yeah.
Apostle Paul.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't want that guy's job. I think I like being a prophet more like being an apostle. Apostle, that's pretty. That guy had it rough, man. I mean, he had it rough. I've had some thorns in the flesh, I think, what I would consider a thorn in the flesh because it was so overwhelming. But I don't know if I had a thorn in the flesh like he did.
Would you really rather have it easy and smooth and then just like kind of skate by and get into heaven with a nice house? But I mean, just kind of like everything went easy, but you really don't have a tight relationship with the sufferings that Christ went through. Like that's what Apostle Paul was saying. Somehow I'm going to attain the same reward as Jesus did when he rose from the dead. I'm going to go through suffering. Like, it wasn't for everybody to go through that, I think, too. I think that was a calling. It wasn't for all Christians to go through and suffer like Apostle Paul. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, he did have a special, like you said, his first prophecy was, you're going to suffer much, but God's going to really use you. So
yeah,
I
there
think
you
he
go.
Was
that
called
was,
to suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah,
he talked about
was,
suffering a lot.
Yeah, but that was specifically for him. God said, for you, you're going to suffer, and you're going to
a lot.
You're going to see how much you're going to have to suffer for serving me and what you're going through. That word he didn't give to nobody else in the Bible. That was for him.
I never thought about that. That may be right, yeah, because he did. I've talked about that before, but I never realized it. I never thought about it being a calling for him, because the more he suffered, the Bible says the more we suffer, the more we enter into the glory, basically. And so he did a lot of, God made sure he suffered so that he would, you know, write most of the New Testament, you know.
That's it.
So
all
that's
that
pretty
words.
Amazing.
Yeah. The books that we got came out of his being stoned, being rejected, being shipwrecked, being in prison, everything he went through. The New Testament, the majority of it came through his suffering. And it's like he thought he was doing good by killing Christians, but God realized that by showing him suffering for killing Christians, it was going to benefit the Christians, like God foreknew before he ever even lifted a stone, before he ever killed one Christian. Yeah, God already knew it was going to work together for the good. It wasn't like God wanted him to kill the Christians. God never wants us to kill anybody and kill Christians.
Right.
That's what he's proved to him. When he suffered, I felt like he was suffering for what he did to the Christians. I felt like that was part of his sufferings to actually reap what he sowed on this earth. But God knew that suffering was going to produce a lot of the books in the New Testament that he would get the glory for it, even though what he was doing was trying to be this. He was trying to be the greatest Pharisee. He was trying to be like the ones who crucified Jesus and be a follower of Moses' law. He was going to be this. He was great. Not only was he trying to be, he was.
He
really
was
great at it, persecuting the church. That was just like, well, we persecuted Jesus. We killed Jesus. Now we're going to kill the Christians. And God's like, uh-uh.
Wow.
Yeah. But God knew that was for him to go through. There was a Moses, and Moses was called from birth, since he was born. He was called to one day grow up, and then it says somewhere that God heard the cries of the people that wanted to be free. But he already had an answer that was born that he prepared. Moses was set apart long before he decided to set the people free from Egypt. Moses was actually prepared and getting ready right there in the midst of it all. He was chosen by God.
Yeah, he was chosen right in the middle of suffering. Remember how he was born? He was born about the time that Pharaoh was killing all those babies, right, and having them all killed. And Moses was being hidden. And then he had to suffer the loss of his mother's love to a certain degree. Of course, what was so amazing about it is that she took him to the river, and then the river took him down, you know, where they were bathing, I guess, the Egyptian women, and they saw him and he cried. I always wonder what that meant. Like, you know, if you ever want to get a woman's heart, just cry. not a grown man. But if you're a little baby and you want to get a woman's attention, just cry. Because it says when she heard him cry, she fell in love with him. Basically.
Yeah.
So she took him in and raised him. And then his sister said, you know, talking about provision, his sister watched the whole thing, and she walked over to the Egyptian lady, a well-known, a powerful woman, and said, you know, you want me to find you somebody that can breastfeed her for you? And then he got to be breastfeeding his own mother. So his mother suffered giving her son away, and then God brought it right back to him. And so he got to nurture. When he got weaned, then he went to Egypt, lived in Egypt. But that's a lot of suffering right there. And then Moses was called, you know, to suffer too. And, yeah, he was for 40 years he went out in the wilderness. Yeah. That's a lot of suffering.
And he was chosen. That was true. Me and my wife were just reading about that, about Moses and what you just said. We were just reading about that. And, so that's interesting that you said that, because my pastor, or my wife's pastor, Randy, his name is Randy too, and Randy said something Sunday morning at church about Moses that she had just read that morning before she watched church and sat down, because she usually goes to church, but
wow.
Sunday she sat down to watch it, and they talked about, he's talking about Kings at the church that she goes to, Bayside. He said Moses, what did he say, Moses, something regarding Moses, and me and my wife started talking about it, and then so she thought it was like, she opened her Bible, and I've done before, I told her about this a lot. I was like, I opened the Bible right to the page. Like, I don't even like search for it, like opens right up to it. And I was amazed. And she said that happened to her Sunday morning. She opened up the Bible right to the scripture.
Wow.
When Pastor Randy said, turn to such and such page, she opened right up to it. And so that was amazing. But
awesome.
how do you tell people that say, well, when you want to tell people, not everybody's Moses, not everybody's Apostle Paul, there's only one Elijah. How do you tell people that they're still chosen by God and called for a purpose that is not any less greater than Apostle Paul? How do you tell people that God loves you just as much as he loves Moses?
Well, think about
Ananias.
When Ananias, who's the one that prophesied to Paul? Some guy, some unknown guy named Ananias. You know, he shows up and opens his eyes, and then you never even hear of Ananias again, really. It's like, you know, that person wasn't chosen to suffer like Paul, but he was chosen to tell him he was going to suffer. You know, so some people are called to tell us what's going to happen in our lives, and some people do it. You know, so we all need all of it.
Yeah,
it all works together for good.
Yeah, somebody might say, "Well, I look up to Prophet Randy, but I'll never be as great as Randy." Or I like what Dan talks about, but I couldn't see God talking to me that way, and that's just simply not true, is it?
Well, you know, he speaks to people in whatever way. Like I said, Ananias, you know, he only shows up one time in the Bible, and he's getting the privilege of talking to the guy that's going to be the guy who's going to write most of the New Testament. You know, so it's kind of like people, I prophesied this the other night about how that it's all the little things that I did for God. You know, like everybody's waiting for the big thing, like me. I've always waited for the big, give me the big word. Yeah, that's why I like those earthquake words. I mean, that's a big word, man. When I tell people that God's going to shake this town, they say there's never been an earthquake in this town, and it shakes, that's going to be the big word. People are going to go, man, that guy, and he hears from God, man. He's awesome. He's hearing from Jesus. He's just like, whoa. So you keep waiting for that big word, right, for that big thing,
right,
that big miracle. When you have a healing ministry, you're always believing God for that big, you know, miraculous eye opening, where their eyes get open. They're blinded. They ain't got any legs. They get legs, grow out there. They're looking for the big one. And the Lord kept telling me, he said, Randy, I want you to work on just focusing on the little things, on the things I tell you to do every day. Like, that's how I ended up with, you know, just one example. of the you know, now I'm connected to the temple and the building of the temple and the red heifer because I just did the little thing. You know, it wasn't anything big. Probably I didn't know that guy was going to be connected to the red heifer. You know, 10 years later, no, I didn't know that. He didn't even know that. But you know, I'm loving him, I'm blessing him, I'm praying for him, believing God. You know, and he had struggles and battles, and his family had struggles and battles, and I prophesied to him, but you know, just a little thing. And then what happened years later? He ends up telling the people that are building the temple, listen to Randy Chandler. That all happened through little things. Not big thing. There was no big. Yeah, I gave him a big word. I did give him a big word that came to pass, and God used that to get his attention. I told him. The first time I prophesied to him, he told me this. You know, years later, he said, "Yeah, do you remember prophesying over me that I'm gonna be standing before, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, or maybe a million or something?" I went, sort of. I remember that. I prophesied to about 40 people that night. So, I kind of remember that a little bit. He said, yeah. He said, you know what? He said, not long after that, I was in Africa doing something, and the guy asked me to come and stand before the people. And he said, Randy, there were hundreds of thousands of people. And I got up there, and I got to speak in front of them, just like you saw. I went, wow, that's awesome. So that got his attention, right? That one, you know, it's not big to me. I'm just saying, I've seen you ministering before, hundreds of thousands of people standing before him, talking to him, blah, 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 ministering Jesus. And that was it. It wasn't like, you know, so that one little thing, that one little bit of obedience, you know, just opened up a door to put me in a place that you couldn't pay millions of dollars to be put in that place God put me. Just overnight it happened because of the little things. So now I look back and I'm going, God, thank you for helping me stay focused on the little things instead of always looking for the big thing and being disgusted because the big things didn't seem to ever be happening. You know, like, you know, well, that, I haven't seen a big thing happen. Like Elvis Presley, I saw the Elvis Presley documentary. And right at the end, Elvis Presley he told his wife, who was I think he was separated from at the time, what's her name, Priscilla.
Priscilla,
he told her, he'd been world known. Everybody knew who Elvis Presley was, but he himself thought he hadn't accomplished. I don't know if you saw the movie or not, but it's a documentary, and I loved it. It was awesome. And he's sitting in that Cadillac, you know, at the end of the movie, and he says, you know what, Priscilla Huntington, I never did make the big movie. I never did do the big thing. And yet it showed him in the movie, you know, being, you know, the guy who started all kinds of stuff that nobody else could ever do but him, you know, and yet he did his, and yet what he thought was small to him, you know, he didn't do the big thing, and yet when he left this world, or he's sad to say, he ended up being, he's the most, you know, people still love Elvis Presley to this day, you know,
yeah.
And his music changed all music, you know, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we don't realize that the little things we do,
It's like Nicole said, people with power never have enough power. The greater the power you have, some people just are hungry for more and more power. No matter how great or powerful they get, they want more power. The measure of power is never satisfied.
Right. I was reading that. I was listening to that in Proverbs today. Proverbs says, he who loves silver never has enough.
Yeah.
So it's like, it makes sense, man. And so it's like God first showed me, he said, I want you to, like the woman who gave the 2 pence, you know, in the temple, it was just a little bitty. It wasn't nothing. And I wrote a short movie about her, you know, that I wrote a few years ago, because it so impressed me that this little woman who gave 2 mites, and Jesus stopped everything. And he said, this woman right here, she has given more than all these people over here. We hear these, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars being thrown into the offering bucket. This woman right here, is with her 2 pence, has given more than all of them because she gave of her living. She gave of her living. And, you know, I mean, that so impressed me, dude. I spent time writing a little short movie about that I wrote. And, you know, thank you, Jesus, for helping with that and inspiring me to do it. So, you know, the little things she did, man, I'll tell you that, I don't know if you ever heard me talk about that movie. No, I'm not going to talk about it right now, but a short story, a short movie that I would love to be able to put out. Maybe one of these days, like, you know, I'd be able to do it. I'm in no hurry, but
The Widow's Mite. Yeah.
The Widow's Mite. Yeah. The Widow's Mite lady. Yeah. Right. Who, you know, so I have a story about her that when she was little, she lived out on this beautiful farm with her daddy. She loved her daddy. And, you know, she was such a giver back then. Her daddy would always ask her, what'd you do with that money I gave you, honey? He'd give her, like, you know, a bunch of money for a kid, you know. And she would say, oh, Dad, you know, And so what happened was, the truth was, she found the neighbors down the street who were poor and didn't have enough. She went down there and gave them all of her money, you know. And so she got so blessed by it. So she spent her whole life being like that. And then her father ended up losing the ranch, losing the beautiful, like they had vineyards, a beautiful house, a beautiful barn, you know, but a really nice, really, really nice place. He lost it in a gambling moment, you know, and he had a gambling problem and he lost it. And she loved her father very much. She really loved her daddy. Her daddy was really awesome to her, but he had that problem. And so they had to move out away from that property when she got a little bit older. And, you know, and so then I have her showing up with Jesus at the temple and giving her two mites, which she's always been a giver. Even when she was a little girl, her daddy always wondered, what are you doing? What do you do with that money I gave you? What do you do with those apples I gave you? What do you do with all that stuff I give you? What do you do with it? Because I don't see it around anywhere. And she wouldn't even tell him that she was helping people down the street because she didn't want to get in trouble. She didn't want him to stop, you know. So anyway, Jesus told her, you know, so anyway, a long story short, she leaves that day. And after Jesus told her that, and one of her friends came up and said, I got a job for you. I found you a job, widow's mite lady. And so she goes, she just worked for this grumpy old man who's crippled and, you know, kind of a whiner and a kind of gripey old. He's on his last leg. He's dying. And so, long story short, he's always complaining to her, you know, and not a very good person to work for. But and so he tried, she heard Jesus was coming, right? Yeah, I said I'm only going to talk about it. Here I'm talking about it because I love this story, man. I'm leaving a lot out, but so she hears Jesus is coming, you know, right down the road from where they're at. She says, sir, Jesus can heal you because he was dying on his deathbed, right? Jesus can heal you. Oh, I don't believe in it. I've heard of that Jesus. He's a blasphemer. He's a this. He's that. Because he was Jewish, right? I'm not going to. And so she says, I will work for you for a year if you will let us take you down to Jesus. He said, work for me for a year? He was a little greedy, you know. Okay, I'll go for that. Work for me for a year for free. So her friends came down and he gets healed. He changed his whole life. They fall in love with each other. And then one day he tells her, now that he's healed, he's healthy, he tells her, let's get in the wagon and go out to the country. I want to show you something. So long story short, what happened is that they get up to the country. She starts looking. This looks familiar to me. He drove up in the wagon with her in it saying, I own this property. My father won it in a gambling moment years ago. And she realized that it was her daddy that lost it. And now she found herself working for this grimy, gripey, old, whiny old man who's dying, gets him healed. They fall in love. And then she gets her house restored back to her for nothing. You know, and it's like, you know, this is what I tell people about being a giver. You know, not just giving your money, but she was just a giver in general. That, you know, it's those little things, man. That girl just gave her a little bit, but in God's eyes, it was huge. So I tell people all the time, I'm starting to understand more and more of that. You know, what you do, other people may look at it like, ah, that ain't much. You know, let's other people get millions down there. You can give much. But God looks at it like, no, this girl is giving more than everybody else is. And I'm gonna.
Wow.
She's gonna be. Yeah. And so she ended up being blessed.
Yeah.
By getting everything she lost when she was a child, the place she loved, the farm she loved, the ranch she loved, the whole thing was so beautiful. It's a beautiful place. And then she gets it back when she gets older. After she gets two mites. Of course, she did it more than once. But anyway, so I tell that I wrote that story, and there's a lot more to it. But it makes you understand that doing the little things. It's what God sees. You know, it may seem little to other people, but to you, you know it's big in your life because it's taken a lot for me to do this, although other people look at it like, nah, that ain't much, and he ain't done much, he ain't done much. But God doesn't look at it like that. So that's what I see happening with me, you know, personally, is that a lot of things I did, I was always looking for the big thing and never did seem to show up, always seem to come short of the big thing that I, because God told me I'm going to use you in a big way right back in the late 1980s. I'm going to use you in a very big way. And I'm going like, yeah, I believe it. That's what I'm telling people, but I regretted it. And then, and then I kept waiting for the big moment, you know, the big ministry, the, all the people and all the big stuff. And yeah, and then they'll want me to come over to Israel to prophesy to them over there, and, you know, be with, you know, and that's not what happened. In fact, just the opposite happened. It's like everything I did was little. Everything I did was small. And God said, if you'll do is take care of the small things. Like they told David, take care of your small sheep. Go back out there and take care of your sheep. You know, those few sheep you got over there, David. And he did. He took care of the few sheep, and God used him to end up, you know, running Israel. But so I really think that's what God's trying to teach us is that, you know, focus on taking care of what little bit God's given you instead of trying to do something that you're waiting for to happen.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. That's good. Thank you for that. Yeah. Very good.